KNRC Community Commitment.
Now is your chance to eliminate late fees on your
talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 36 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by BMW. One person was killed in a fire at the 56-unit Spanish Gate Apartments complex just after midnight yesterday. The building at East Kentucky and South Cherry had five floors, and many residents had to be rescued from the higher levels. Firefighters had some trouble because of how cold it was, causing any water hitting the ground to freeze. Police arrested 22-year-old Blake Jeffrey Fiber shortly after the fire began. He was arrested for investigation of arson and attempted first-degree murder along with other counts. Witnesses say that not long before the fire started, they heard loud voices arguing in the apartment where the fire may have began. Colorado cattle ranchers and restaurant owners say their businesses are being affected by a cow in Washington State diagnosed with mad cow disease. Colorado cattle producer Tom Ween says market prices for beef futures are down because of the panic caused by this single discovery.
Markets hate the unknown, and anytime you have something that's unknown in the marketplace, markets are going to react negatively.
Colorado Springs restaurant owner John DeLay says beef prices went up over 25% last spring after a Canadian cow tested positive for mad cow disease. Officials with America's beef industry say they hope the beef market will stabilize as more information about this year's mad cow case is made available. Each year, ranchers in America test 20,000 head of cattle for mad cow disease. More than 20 countries are now banning the import of U.S. beef, and the USDA is recalling beef in eight western states and Guam, although Colorado is not included in that list of recalls. Officials are stressing that there is a minimal health risk to the general public. The Virginia Dale Church in Larimer County that was completely destroyed by an arson fire is being rebuilt by church members and should be completed sometime in February. A volunteer firefighter has been charged with arson in the November 16th fire. The original building was 123 years old. The new building for the still active church will be built in the same style as the original. Officials say that as soon as 2006, Rocky Flats could become a destination for people who want to get out and see nature at its best. Rocky Flats used to produce nuclear warhead triggers, but officials involved with the cleanup of the site say it should be ready to receive visitors who plan to hike, bike, or just enjoy the open space area soon. Officials say that after the cleanup is safely completed, the area should be full of wildlife and should be part of the local ecosystem. Air marshals will be flying on certain flights to and from the U.S. in an effort to make air travel safer. The Department of Homeland Security has asked foreign airlines to take the extra precautions. The order applies to passenger and cargo flights. The measure went into effect yesterday as another way to potentially prevent future terrorist attacks. There are no immediate plans for evacuation in San Bernardino County, California, as more rain threatens to create optimal conditions for mudslides, according to San Bernardino County Sheriff spokesman Chip Patterson.
Are we going to advise people to evacuate when it starts raining? No. We're going to advise people to use common sense and good judgment. And if they think that they're going to be in danger if the rain continues at a heavy rate, then sure, don't take any unnecessary risks.
Briefing reporters today, Patterson said the officials will be waiting and reacting as weather conditions change. Meanwhile, the search continues for two children swept away by a wall of mud and debris at a church camp in the San Bernardino Mountains. Excluding the two children who are presumed dead, the death toll from the Christmas Day mudslide stands at 14. Time is running out for rescue workers in the ruined Iranian city of Bam. There was a little glimmer of hope in the quake-ravaged city today when a six-month-old girl was found alive in her dead mother's arms. However, officials admit that the chances of finding more survivors is fading fast following last week's 6.3 earthquake that has left tens of thousands dead. On Wall Street, stocks are up at this hour. The Dow up more than 68 points, NASDAQ up almost 20 points, and the S&P 500 up just about 8. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche play host to the Vancouver Canucks tonight. Avs coming off their 3-2 overtime win over Philadelphia on Saturday. Last time the Avs and Canucks met earlier this month, they skated to a one-all tie. The Denver Broncos rested their regular starters yesterday. They got beat 31-3 by the Green Bay Packers. The Broncos say the drubbing doesn't bother them since they're focused on next weekend's playoff game against the Indianapolis Colts. However, Broncos quarterback Jarius Jackson says he's upset with the way he played yesterday.
I'm looking forward to the opportunity. You very seldom get opportunities like this, and you got to seize the moment. And I don't think I went out there and did that today. That's definitely by far my worst game, I think, since I've been playing football.
The Broncos play the Colts in Indianapolis next Sunday. Cut through snow and ice easier than ever. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about their all-wheel drive 3 Series, sedans and wagons, X5, and the new BMW X3. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find datatarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. datatarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. datatarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. datatarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is sponsored by Net Zero High Speed. We've got a couple problems around the metro area. Southbound I-25 between Colorado and Evans got a stall in the right lane. Further along, there's a piece of metal in the center lane. Southbound I-25 between Hampton and 225. And on the westbound I-70 on the west side right at Morrison, watch for an accident there. Surf the internet up to 5 times faster than standard dial-up with Net Zero High Speed. Just $14.95 a month, including pop-up blocker. Call 877-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to be sunny and dry at least through midweek. Today, getting up to 44 degrees. Later on tonight, mostly clear, down to 20. Tomorrow, keeping the sunshine, high of 47, and a few degrees warmer for Wednesday, 51, with just a few clouds. Now, if you're going out New Year's Eve, Wednesday night, we're looking at partly cloudy skies, lows in the 20s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's cloudy, 36 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35, or when it breaks, on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday after Christmas edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and I don't know how your holiday was. Mine was wonderful, and I was in San Francisco, and I got back late last night. The plane was delayed, and so I sat in the airport for a goodly while. But I never mind that, because I always like to observe people and read. And, you know, it's never a problem, and I chatter away on the phone. And then when I'm not doing all of that, I'm busy eavesdropping on other people's conversations. So in many ways, I'm able to amuse myself. The weather was great, and it was wonderful to be back in San Francisco. It's so funny. When you live somewhere for a long time, it's like you just pick up like you were never gone. And when I come back to Denver, it was like I never left Denver. So I don't know if that's peculiar or not, but I've always been that way. When I'm in one place, I was never in any other place. So it was a wonderful holiday. I was put to work because I stayed with a friend who has an annual Christmas party. So there I am sweeping and doing the kind of work I ought to be doing in my own place. But since I'm a house guest, I was turned into a real house worker there to get the party, to get the place ready for the party. And I was really a bad girl. It was a shop-a-rama is what it was. But it was lots of fun, and it was fun to eat a lot of good food. Not that there isn't a lot of good food in Denver. And as I arrived in San Francisco, here were the announcements I heard at the airport. Terror alert level has been raised to orange. And I thought, oh, didn't Howard Dean say, after they brought in Saddam Hussein, that America is no safer for having brought in Saddam Hussein? And boy, did a whole firestorm of criticism descend on Howard Dean. But apparently he was right, because if we were safer, we wouldn't have had to raise the terror alert level to orange. And there's a big story in a very reputable, respected Capitol Hill publication that says that the Bush administration, and it's a right-wing publication that is saying this, saying that the Bush administration is manipulating the terror alert levels in order to keep us hysterical, in order to keep us frightened, and in order to keep the approval ratings high. Because when we're scared, apparently, there's a correlation with the high approval ratings for George Bush, George W. Bush, whom I'm renaming Dick. I'm going to call him Dick because I think that's somehow a more fitting name for him. So now we have two Dicks running the White House. We have Dick Cheney and we have George W. Dick Bush. What do you think about that? 303-382-1150. Well, here I am in California. It rained some. It was a little bit overcast. Christmas Day was gorgeous. And I was spent my Christmas Day and some of my time in Sausalito, which and looking out over the bay. And I took a long walk on Christmas Day, and it was sunny and lovely. Nippy. The air was nippy, but just a beautiful sunny day. And watching the boats cruising around, the sailboats and everything, and seeing flowers blooming all over the place, and a lot of water. I forgot what all that was about. But if you read the headlines in California today and throughout the week, here are some of the headlines you're going to see. Flooding. They're having huge mudslides. They're thinking that some people were caught in those mudslides. Kids were caught. Victims of the mudslide, and they haven't been able to find them, but they're thinking that maybe some kids were victims of the mudslides. So flooding. We have drought here and other places. I think we're still in a drought. Mad cow disease. They're looking for a Holstein. They probably should be looking for a Goldstein because I must be that mad cow, but we won't go there. So we have mad cow disease. The food supply is questionable, at least beef right now. And it was never wonderful. You know all those stories that came out of the ConAgra plant in Greeley, the E. coli in the beef supply. The inspection process is a joke. And here you now have mad cow disease. You have flooding. You have mudslides. You have big earthquakes in Iraq. We are at war. And it goes, and we are, the terror alert level is higher than it was when it was aubergine or whatever other color it was. So remember the fundamentalists who talked about how you know that the end of the world is coming? Does this mean that the end of the world is coming? Look at all these horrible things that are happening. I mean, and this is just a partial list. So if you are a fundamentalist, if you believe that this is the end, we're kind of, everything is, well, did I mention global warming? Did I mention, you know, 50 other things that are going on? Does this paint a picture for you? Are we being too negative in that few days that we have to contemplate anything very much between Christmas and New Year's? 303-382-1150. And then there's going to Saudi Arabia. There was a terror attempt, something that was allegedly foiled. And then Israel is saying that there's going to be some more terrorism that's going to happen there. And it goes on and on and on. So we have... A friend of mine was saying this. She said, do you think this is, you know, you hear people say, well, the end is coming when a lot of really bad things happen. Does this qualify, do you think? 303-382-1150. Does this qualify? We have mad cow disease. We already know the beef supply is questionable because of the E. coli contamination that happened earlier. It revealed a shoddy inspection process, a rather intermittent kind of inspection process that puts these businesses pretty much on the honor system so that consumers are not very much protected. And now other countries are going to do to us what we have done to them. They're just going to cut off the beef supply. We're already in record deficits. We're spending like drunken sailors. This is a quote from Republican Senator John McCain, that we are spending like drunken sailors. We're going to be a banana republic probably in the next 5 or 10 minutes. And now here's a very important industry to the United States, the beef industry, which had to survive the cholesterol scare and it had to survive all kinds of scares. And managing a comeback, even though it's not as well regulated on behalf of consumers as it ought to be. And that's a paradigm for what is happening in many, many industries where the tilt goes to business, not to protecting the consumer. 303-382-1150. Don, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm doing well, Don.
Yeah, I want to comment on all of these natural disasters and stuff that's going around the face of the earth. And I really think that it's the earth and God's way of cleansing itself. Just like, you know, when a human being catches a cold or any other kind of virus, that your body seeks to, you know, get rid of the intoxicants in your body to cleanse and pure yourself. And I think that men have created so much evil with their hands that this is God's way or the earth's way of cleansing itself of, you know, foreign or viruses, you know, human beings that do wrong.
Well, it's an interesting theory. Is the end of the world coming up in the next 5 or 10 minutes?
Well, I don't know if the end of the world is coming in the next 5 or 10 minutes, but I agree that we are living in the last days. If you read the Bible or any other religious scriptures, it gives you signs of the last days, and we're definitely, you know, the signs.
What do they say the signs of the last days are?
Well, mother against daughter, father against son, earthquakes, tornadoes, floods, mudslides, you know, it goes on and on. And if you read in the Bible in Revelations, it says Babylon the Great is fallen and become a habitation of devils and a hole for every foul spirit and a hole for every unclean and hateful bird. And then God says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers in her sins and her plagues.
Well, I want to say something here. The person I was having this conversation with is a very sophisticated New York woman who sits down with her martini and ingests the New Yorker every week and all kinds of cultural theater. She's an older woman. And she said, you know, you hear people say these things, but she said, look at the headlines. My God, mad cow disease, the flooding, the earthquake in Iran. Let me tell you, if 20,000 people, or now the figure was then revised to 25,000, and then I hear now 40,000 people were dead, in this country, everybody would be coming to our aid. I don't know to what extent the Red Cross or we are going to the aid of the Iranians. We've had a dicey relationship with them lately, politically, diplomatically. This would be a very wonderful humanitarian gesture if we were able to give as much as we possibly could. It could put that relationship more to rights than it has been in quite a while. But, if you go down the checklist, it's a really bad time. And the most astonishing thing I was thinking about is I had a few days off, is you've got Americans here. Logic doesn't obtain anymore. A set of reasons are given for going to war. None of those pan out, and people don't care, and there's no sense of outrage. You know where the outrage is? On the roads, on I-25, where people are busy flipping each other off and shooting each other's brains out and ripping their eyeballs out for a traffic infraction, but let your president woo you to war, seduce you into going to war, many lives lost, for reasons that are a tissue and whole papers of lies, and nobody gets steamed.
But the whole key in it, remember, and we had this discussion last year, and I've heard you comment on it several times, after 9/11, the president said, go shopping. And the reason why nobody's upset about this, because everybody is just, they're trying to keep their houses, they're trying to keep the trucks that they bought, they're trying to send their kids.
They're trying to keep a job or find one if they don't have one.
And
I have to tell you, even though Dick is in the White House there, I did take his mandate seriously over the Christmas holidays.
How'd you come up with Dick for
I just
Bush?
Thought that was a better description of than George W., and I thank you for the call, Don. I'm going to call him. We have two Dicks in the White House now. We have Dick Cheney running things, probably. Did anybody ever see George W. Bush talk while Dick Cheney was drinking a glass of water? I don't think so. So we have Dick Cheney, who's the vice president, and we have George W. Bush, who I think is not the right name for him. He's just like a junior. George Jr. And I think Dick more aptly describes him. So we now have two Dicks in the White House. What do you think about that? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. Is the end near? Is it hopeless about Americans? I mean, nobody is getting outraged over what are lies and more lies and not small lies, egregious lies. And the New York Times, and I will share this as we continue, did an editorial that I thought was so right on, talking about more and more oversight of civilians and more of a carte blanche towards businesses. So here you see mad cow disease and how we were, you know, here we had a heads up from England. We could have done a better job of keeping it from happening. And so far, we have not kept done a very good job of keeping the beef supply as healthy as it ought to be. There was that E. coli scare, and it revealed the shockingly hideous inspection process, which really is almost no inspection process at all. It's like the companies are on the honor system. So you have got a lot that's wrong in American life, and nobody seems to care. It's like, okay, well, you know, as long as let me switch the remote here. Oh, I'm cruising. Oh, I'm watching Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I'm seeing if Saddam is going to have his makeover. I think I want to go to I want to go to the mall. I want to go shopping now. Oh, what are they doing in Washington? Oh, well, I'm going to go. I think I need a new SUV. You know, I think this is what people are thinking about. 303-382-1150, or are trying to keep food on the table, or trying to get a job if they don't have one, or trying to make ends meet because it's really tough right now. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm back right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm still working on perfecting my digital photography skills. But making prints from my digital camera? Now that's easy. Thanks to Walgreens' new digital photo center available at thousands of Walgreens locations. I bring in any digital media to make prints that are better and last longer than the ones I can print at home. I only print the ones I like, and a 4x6 print is only 29 cents. Walgreens' new digital photo center, where America takes its digital pictures.
It's towing. Hello?
It's so simple.
Oh, my car won't start.
Just add it to your gas tank every time you fill up.
Where? I don't know. Miller Road? Or...
Heat gas line antifreeze. It takes just seconds.
2 hours? You've got to be kidding me.
And heat prevents gas line freeze-ups all winter long for quick, easy starts.
Look, it's freezing. Can't you get here sooner?
A good thing to remember before you get stopped cold.
Please, just hurry.
Cold engines start with heat.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobb. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
1222 on the Monday after Christmas edition of Enid Live. I'm yours. I'm back in the flesh from San Francisco, where there's a lot of flesh. They have a lot of flesh pots there. They don't have just aluminum pots. They have flesh pots. We are talking about, is the end near? Is this what the Bible's talking about? I am sorry to say, not a somebody who has as much familiarity with the Bible as I ought. So those of you who are of a more biblical frame of mind, you can tell me. But if you look at the list of pestilences, the only thing that's missing is frogs being dropped out of the air onto us. But we have got earthquakes that are massive. We have got flooding. We have got mudslides. We have got mad cow disease. We are at war. We have all kinds of things going on here. And earthquakes, what have I missed? Terrorism, we're on higher alert. I mean, 303-382-1150, and people are very passive now. Everybody's so busy agitating for their rights. Everybody is so busy sitting around feeling like they're not empowered that nobody is mad enough, really, or not enough people are mad enough to keep an eye on our leaders and hold their feet to the fire. And this, to me, is really distressing. 303-382-1150. Ami, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon, Enid.
Hi, Ami.
I was wondering, why are you so negative this morning? I guess you didn't have a good Christmas or your vacation did not go well.
I had a wonderful time.
Everything you say is so negative.
But wait a minute, Ami. Do you read the newspaper? I'm reading you headlines.
I read the newspaper.
You only want good, perky news that you can go get your favorite show on TV, buy yourself a new car, go shopping, and screw your brains out.
The greatest country in the world. And I wouldn't want to see any other country leading the way America is leading. It's simple as that. With all our mistakes.
With all of our mistakes, so you don't even want to correct any of our mistakes.
I didn't say I don't want to correct. Where do you hear the negative in my world? Of course I want to correct some mistakes, but not by making it look like we're doing a poor job of everything.
Are we doing a good job of?
We are not doing a poor job of nothing. We're still better than everybody else. Would you want to live anywhere else except the United States?
I love the United States. This is my home. I love my country. But when it's not, when it's performing poorly and you have incompetence in Washington, I think it's my responsibility as a concerned citizen to bring that to people's attention.
Take out a word. Every time, I never heard you. I've been listening to you for a while, and I called a few times. I'm sure you remember. You never say anything good.
Ami, you're not listening enough. I say a lot of things that are good. And
no,
I think it's very good of me to point out where we have to do a better job. What do you want to do? Close your eyes and pretend it's not happening?
Not by making President Bush to be like the most evil thing since Stalin.
Well, he is so incompetent. Dick Bush is so incompetent that it's an embarrassment.
And I totally disagree with you. And we've been proven in November that you're going to see he's going to win again.
He may win again. I hope you're not right, but it's very possible that he may win again. 303-382-1150. People have to wake up. Dolores in Loveland. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
Anyhow, I wanted to tell you about this bumper sticker I saw on the Texas car over the weekend.
What did it say?
It said, somewhere in Texas, a village is missing their idiot. He's in Washington. And I wanted to also say, I think everything that's going on in the country right now is Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson's fault.
You think it's their fault? Well, they're sitting around praying for the whole Supreme Court to drop dead so that they can get some new leadership in there and other things. I forget what else they're praying for.
Yeah, but anyhow, this is what's going on now with the earthquakes and the floods and so forth. That's their fault.
That's their fault?
Yeah, you bet.
Wait. Now, Dolores, how are the earthquakes and the mad cow disease and the floods fault of Jerry Falwell and those guys and Pat Robertson?
Well, how is anything else about the fault of homosexuals or the left wing?
Oh, I gotcha. All right. Oh, that's good. All right. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. 303-332-1150. Ooh, well, they'll be happy to hear about that. Earl on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm glad to hear you back.
Thank you, Earl.
You know, when it comes to the end of times prophecies and all that, I'm pretty well read in Scripture. You would think that the people during the Civil War would have thought that the end of time was happening more than now, because there was fathers killing brothers and sons, and things aren't really as bad as they need to be to fulfill the prophecy so far.
You mean they have to get worse?
Oh, they have to get a lot worse.
Okay.
I think you're going to have to see the Democrats in power. Religion being persecuted.
Wait! If the Democrats are in power, this means the end of the world is near.
No! Not just because of that, but the judges that they will appoint that will attack Christianity and basically normalize homosexuality and break down the.
Wait! So you think that if we become truly multicultural and acknowledge all religions, not simply one?
And if
homosexual relationships are accorded the same rights as marriage partners, the same kinds of
that will be a big
benefits
key to it. That will be a big key to it, because it will be in defiance of God, and there will be an attack basically on Christianity. Anyone
let me ask you a question. This is a sort of theological but non-theological question. What sex would you say God is?
A male.
Wouldn't you say that God being everything...
He has a wife, I would say.
He does? I thought that was Jesus.
According to the Da Vinci Code. He does, yeah.
But he does?
Because he had sons and he had children.
Who is the lucky woman?
What's that?
Who is the lucky woman?
Well, I don't think she's ever mentioned, because he already said that you people make me so angry... In the blink of an eye, I would destroy all that I made.
But wouldn't you think that since God embodies everything, God would be omnisexual? He would embody all, everything?
No, because he's the father. But I think the mother is never mentioned, because we're pretty arrogant as a species. And, you know, we just do whatever we want, regardless of what we're told.
Well, the truth is, I don't know if you really can know God in that intellectual way. You may know him through faith, him or her. But I would think that God embodies everything, as I understand the concept of God to be. And so you could make a case that there's a sort of omnisexuality to God, because he's everything. He or she or it is everything. So, Earl, you can look at it any way you want.
I know.
And the beauty of our system is that I can look at it any way I want to.
Yeah.
And the system allows each of us that liberty and doesn't impose your view on me or my view on you.
That's right. But God does impose his view on us.
Well, only if you believe, if you don't believe in a God, then God is not imposing his will on you. And William James, the great philosopher, the brother of the wonderful writer Henry James, wrote, I don't know, I suppose around the turn of the century, that it's the great as if. If you believe in God and in religion, you act as if there is a God and there are certain rules. And if you don't, you act as if there are not. And it will condition the way you act in the world, it will condition your belief system. And I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. But we have a lot of pestilences going down right now, not the least of which is in the White House, if you ask me. Dean says that the Democrats are doomed if he loses the nomination. There was a big story about him in the New York Times yesterday. He didn't grow up in such luxurious accommodations as George W. Bush did, although he comes from an equally old line WASP family. I think the grandmothers were friends. I think one grandmother asked the other one to be in her wedding. I think, you know, the Bush grandmother and the Dean grandmother were good friends. But Howard Dean, when he was the governor of Vermont, he was so centrist a guy that he was almost thought to be a little bit more Republican than he was Democrat. Now, interestingly enough, he has a reputation for being a flaming liberal, but he was always considered fiscally conservative in Vermont, and he was able, through small steps, tiny incremental steps, manage to implement universal health care for children in Vermont. He also signed on to civil unions, not gay marriage, but civil unions in Vermont, same-sex civil unions, 303, or domestic partners, 303-382-1150. He is, however, trailing Bush. And if you were asking me right now, if the election were held today, do I think Bush would be reelected? I'm sorry to say, I think he might be reelected. Howard Dean is gaining ground as a leading candidate in the Democratic presidential contest, but he appears to be a substantial underdog in a hypothetical matchup against President Bush. This is according to the ABC News Washington Post poll. It was released last week. It found that Dean, backed by 31% of Democrats and those who lean Democratic, he was backed by 31% of Democrats and those who lean Democratic. All of the other Democratic candidates were in single digits. So people who are Democratic or who would vote would lean in that direction are backing Dean by 31%. Joe Lieberman and Dick Gephardt were at 9%. John Kerry is at 8%. Wesley Clark at 7%. Now, Wesley Clark almost tied Dean earlier on. John Edwards at 6%. Al Sharpton, 5%. Dennis Kucinich at 2%, and former Illinois Senator Carol Moseley Brown with less than 1%. You know what Carol Moseley Brown said recently? She said, "Remember Bin Laden? Been forgotten," she said. When all respondents were asked who they would trust more with national security, 67% said Bush, 21% said Dean. When asked who they would trust more to handle domestic issues like Social Security, health care, and education, they picked Bush, 50% to 39%. Well, it is an 11-point lead, but here's a sitting president for 3 years. I don't know if it's that big a deal. In a head-to-head matchup, Bush led Dean by 55% to 37%. Still in all, Dean is the best thing the Democrats have got going, so they better quit squabbling amongst themselves and quit trying to sabotage him, because without him, I think the Democrats are out, you know, they were nowhere. Rudy, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Good morning. Good afternoon. This is my first time listening to your station.
Well, wait a minute. We have something for you if you're a first-time caller.
Okay.
That's our cheesy little kiss.
Okay. But that may be taken back as soon as I finish.
Okay.
In any case.
No, we never. We are not Indian givers here.
You had a person on there a moment ago who had talked about a bumper sticker about Bush and Dick Cheney, about the idiot, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? Have you been anywhere around the world, ma'am, at all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know this? I've been around halfway around the world. And being a black man, I take pride as this my country because I've been places you wouldn't even have a chance to even speak. And you're talking about the things we don't have. You should compare our country to the other countries around the world, including places like England, where the prince there had a homosexual activity and they refused to let it be written in the paper. And that's
he didn't. You're misquoting. There was an alleged case. We don't know whether it actually happened or it didn't.
In any case, the newspaper wasn't given the freedom to print it. So whether it was alleged or not, the thing on Michael Jackson is alleged. And it's being printed all over. That's the things I'm talking about. So that's what that man.
But Rudy, let me ask you a question.
Please.
Let me ask you this question.
Please.
We all know this is the most wonderful country on earth, but there are lots of things wrong with it. And are you saying, well, we're just going to avert our eyes? It's wonderful, and we don't have to do anything to keep it at its high level. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that.
Are you saying that we're not in this country where we have freedom of press, as you pointed out? We're not allowed to criticize what's wrong with this country?
No, you're right. We're criticizing, and I'm criticizing you on your comments because you're not doing a balanced thing. You know, it's just like CNN and ABC and CBS. All of you guys are on...
Darling, I'm not doing journalism here. I am doing talk radio, and talk radio is very different. Talk radio is about opinions. It's about speculation. It's also about fact. We're always fact-based. But we're not doing journalism on this program. So if you want journalism, then I would suggest you look at CNN, read the New York Times,
okay.
Read the Denver Post, read the Rocky Mountain News.
Let's go against you and Rush Limbaugh then, okay?
One of us is working in a drug-free zone, for one thing, Rudy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Can you guess which one that might be?
What do you mean, a free zone?
A drug-free zone.
What is that? Where is that drug-free zone in the United States?
Right here on Enid Live, Rudy.
That's not
you
a
got
zone.
Your guy Rush is an addict. He's a junkie.
But you said zone. Zone seems to incorporate many people, not just one. Wouldn't you say?
Darling, you're real literal today. I do thank you. I hope you'll call us again. 303-382-11. There is an irony deficiency here going down on the Monday after Christmas. I mean, at Goldstein, you can participate in the conversation if you want to call it that. 303-382-1150. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 36 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Metabolife Ultra. Police yesterday arrested a 22-year-old man for investigation of arson and attempted first-degree murder following a fire at a Glendale apartment complex yesterday. One person died in the fire at the Spanish Gate Apartments at East Kentucky and South Cherry. Witnesses say a Chevy Blazer was speeding and ran a red light at 80th and Federal late last night, hitting a Ford Focus. The woman driving the Ford died at the scene. Passengers in both vehicles were injured. The driver of the Blazer was arrested for investigation of DUI, vehicular homicide, and vehicular assault. The latest numbers from the state health department show that there's been a decline of just more than half in the number of flu cases in the state. The latest 720 cases bring the state's total count to 11,427. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche are home at the Pepsi Center tonight against the Vancouver Canucks. Avs are coming off their 3-2 overtime win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Planning a New Year's resolution to lose weight? Pick up a bottle of Metabolife Ultra and keep that promise you've made to yourself. Metabolife Ultra, guaranteed to work or your money back. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
Hi, my name is Allison, and I met my fiancé Daniel at eHarmony.com.
My name is Rob, and I met my wife on eHarmony.com.
My name is Brenda, and I met my fiancé Tom on eHarmony.com.
There's a reason why couples who meet on eHarmony.com are falling in love and getting married. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Successful relationships always begin with broad-based compatibility. That's why at eHarmony.com we match you based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It helps you to figure out you, then it helps you to find that person that you are most compatible with.
You're learning intimate things about the person right from the very beginning.
There's a depth to eHarmony that the other sites don't have.
Log on to eHarmony.com and see for yourself why more eHarmony.com matches result in marriage than any online dating service. Do it right now and get your $40 personality profile free.
KNRC News Time is 12:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by RAB. Still trying to work out some problems on southbound I-25. Southbound I-25 at Hampton on the left shoulder. Two cars were involved in an accident. Southbound I-25 at 225, a single car accident into a barrel. Watch for delays in and around those accidents. Westbound I-70 at Morrison should be clear. RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving, says don't take your lifestyle on the road. Designate before you celebrate. Learn more at RAD.org. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to see lots of sunshine through at least midweek. Today getting up to 44, later on tonight down to 20. And for tomorrow, a few degrees warmer, 47 for a high along with lots of sun. And for Wednesday, partly cloudy, high of 51. And if you have plans for Wednesday night, we're looking at partly cloudy conditions, lows in the 20s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 36 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1241. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway just north of Arapaho Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy: sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Heat and Glow.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Heat and Glow.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get a Heat and Glow. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
KNRC Market Watch.
Small number of stocks changing hands, but most activity on Wall Street is buying today. Right now, the Dow is up 83 points. S&P 500 gaining 9. The NASDAQ is up 22 points. As traders sort out the short and long-term effects of the mad cow scare on the U.S. beef industry, we are seeing a big difference in companies that produce meat and companies that buy it and serve it at restaurants. Hormel stock is down 69 cents a share. Smithfield Foods losing almost a dollar. Smithfield has been downgraded by Credit Suisse First Boston, predicting fewer beef exports will drive down prices of all types of meat in the U.S. Those lower prices could help firms such as McDonald's and Wendy's. Both stocks are higher today. Mickey D's rising 36 cents a share following a J.P. Morgan upgrade. And Wendy's is up more than a half dollar after it and Burger King announced the mad cow scare has had no apparent effect on burger sales over the weekend. Once again, the Dow is up 83. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1243 on the Monday after Christmas edition of Enid Live. I'm back after a week in San Francisco. It was lots of fun. And I noticed, as I said earlier, that the alert level, whatever you call it, the terrorist alert, whatever, the hysterical, the manipulation from the White House has raised the level from aubergine or yellow or whatever it was to orange. And I heard that as I landed at SFO at San Francisco Airport. And I'm laughing, not because that's so funny, but I'm laughing because everybody was so hard on Dean that he was so unpatriotic when he said, when they brought in Saddam Hussein, he said, it doesn't make America safer. And there's a story today that funding for homeland security in Colorado, there isn't enough of it. There's not enough funding. State Department lags. No money is set aside. So we are not safer. Why did everybody come down so hard on Howard Dean for saying what was obviously true? Everybody wanted to label that unpatriotic, and the minute he said it, they raised the alert level. Here we have a right-wing publication saying that terror alerts are manufactured. Intelligence pros say the White House is manufacturing terrorist alerts to keep the issue alive in the minds of voters and to keep President Bush's approval ratings high. This is from WorldNet Daily, which is a very conservative publication. And reporting that story is Capitol Hill Blue, which is a well-respected Capitol Hill publication. So do you think that that's going on? Do you think that that's really what's happening here? 303-382-1150. And what we're talking about is just a series of pestilences in the headlines. The horrendous earthquake, where now they're reporting 40,000 killed in Iran. You have mudslides and flooding in Southern California, where people are reported dead as a result of that, or at least they're not sure. There were some kids that they thought got caught in the mudslides, and they haven't been able to recover those bodies yet. You have got mad cow disease. You've got terrorist plots left and right. You have got an alert level that is higher now that may simply be politically manipulated. It's just awful. I mean, these are a series of what might be a prelude to the end of the world, although I don't think that that's the case, the biblical reference to the end of the world. I really think that we have saved our outrage for what is essentially irrelevant and meaningless. And where we really should be outraged, we have become passive. We don't demand accountability from our leaders. We just assume they're going to lie. And when they do, oh, it's like, oh, well, what else is new? Oh, well, they lied about going to war. Well, if you don't go to war, if you're not fighting and you don't know anyone who's actively engaged in battle, you're very cavalier about it. Sure, let's send them in. Let's do it. Let's make this into a John Wayne blockbuster. 303-382-1150. So if you were asking me right now, is Bush going to be reelected, I have to say he probably will be, but I hope to be wrong about that, especially since the Democrats are squabbling amongst themselves. Howard Dean is the clear leader. Everybody else is so bent out of shape about it that they're trying to sink him. They will sink any possibility that there is for a Democrat to run against Bush, if that's the case. Let's head over to the phones. Joe, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Joe.
Glad to have you back. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Agree with everything you're saying. Real quick, I just wanted to, based on your new moniker for the president, I wanted to remind you of a campaign slogan from Richard Nixon's reelection campaign. Well, actually, it didn't come from his campaign. It was, "Don't switch dicks in the middle of a screw. Vote for Nixon in 72." So I thought
who was the other dick that they were referring to?
Well, they were only referring to Nixon in that case because he was running for his second term in 72.
Oh.
So basically they're just saying, don't switch.
Right.
So in your case, we could adopt that. So, you know, don't switch dicks in the middle of the screw. Vote for Big Dick and Little Dick, too, I guess.
And Big Dick would be Dick Cheney, of course.
Well, yeah, whichever way you want to put it.
I think he's the ventriloquist.
Well, I was absolutely amazed yesterday that on Chris Matthews' show there were people who actually thought that in the absence of Mr. Bush that people would actually vote for Dick Cheney, which I thought was a ridiculous presumption based on how untrustworthy most people see this man as.
You may see him as untrustworthy, but there are a lot of people who are apparently, this must be a topic that we took up some weeks back, must really be true. And the people who lean in that direction have to be not as bright as people who can see through guys like Dick Cheney and George W. Dick Bush.
Well, this must go to the theory that was in today's post about how white men are going to vote for George Bush. And I guess that makes us white men pretty stupid.
Well, here's what the Democrats, apparently the white male franchise is a franchise that Bush owns. Why that is, he is a phony kind of a cowboy. I mean, he's a kid who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he machos around like a cowboy. He was a failure for most of his life. And why the Republicans have that franchise, I think he plays the role better than Al Gore could not play that role at all. But the truth of the matter is, women determine the elections. And I don't know whether, with Bush's policies, what proportion of the female vote is his, just for the asking.
Well, I think that's a really important point. And I think when I talk to people and they say, well, how are you going to change all these white men to vote for someone else other than Bush? I say, well, I don't think it's necessary to change their position as much as it's necessary to get women and men and women under 30 to vote for whoever the Democrat is going to be, because they're not stuck in that theory that George Bush is okay. And I think women, you know, women reelected Bill Clinton. They saw past all the other issues and they put him back in the White House for a second time. And I think that women have that power. And I think that young people have that power, and that's what this election is going to be about, is mobilizing that.
Well, I hope that the Democrats are out there registering all the everybody they can possibly register to vote. But we had a very bad situation a week or two ago when Liz called in to say she tried to volunteer for the Democrats, and all she got back was nothing much and, by the way, an envelope to solicit donations. When she tried the same thing with the Republicans, they were right back at her by email with a whole list of contacts, a whole list of activities, a whole list of everything. They're much more organized, apparently, than the Democrats in Colorado. So if what has happened in Colorado is typical of other states, then the Democrats don't have a prayer. And Ralph Nader, God bless Ralph Nader, for him to say there's no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, what has he been ingesting?
Well, Ralph Nader is just a spoiler.
And well, that's what...
You know, and a vote stealer. I was going to ask you, there was also an article in Sunday's Post about websites set up in the West over basically the rage of Democrats. And I was wondering if you had seen that article. If you hadn't, I'd be glad to send it to you.
Would you send it to me? Because I was out of town and I didn't see the post on Sunday.
Well, it's basically all about setting up these websites to mobilize people, which I think is my response to what you just said. I don't know that we can do this. I don't know that this election is going to be won by somebody other than George Bush in a conventional sense. I think it has to be totally unconventional.
Well, everybody's talking about what Dean has done on using his website brilliantly, using the internet brilliantly. So it isn't a conventional game, at least not for the Dean people. That's why he's leading. Everybody dismissed him because all the other candidates were more of a conventional background doing the conventional thing,
right.
And he just captured the internet. Now, whether that is going to be enough is another question.
Well, here's another thing that occurred to me. There was a survey that said that about 20% of Americans now only have a cell phone for their phone, okay? I'm assuming that the majority of that 20% is below 30. So my point would be, since I don't get any solicitations on my cell phone, I wonder that the polls are not soliciting opinions from any of those 20% of the population.
Well, theoretically, the polls are scientifically accurate, whatever that may mean, or they're, you know, they statistically accurate. I don't know. I can't comment on who they're polling. It does become a closed feedback loop, though, when you hear that somebody's in the lead. You know, it causes more of a bandwagon effect to occur.
Well, I think the polls are entirely too scattered, and as my wife always says, if you want an accurate poll, poll the same 1,500 people over and over and over again if you want to find out whose popularity is going up and whose popularity is going down. Because changing the source of the poll constantly skews the numbers.
Joe, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Some people prefer the right wing. Some prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. I want to thank all our customers and wish them a happy and safe holiday season. Naming a star with StarRegistry.com is one of the most memorable gifts you can ever give. For almost 25 years, we have provided this magical gift to celebrities, dignitaries, even the royal family. For only $54, it's perfect for any occasion and will never be forgotten. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Curtis Arts and Humanities Center announces Live Art, an exhibit designed and coordinated by members of the Greenwood Village Teen Art Board. The exhibit features a 16-by-8-foot mural expressing the teens' outlook on today's art and a room of my own, utilizing objects from their homes. Located at 2349 Orchard Road in Greenwood Village, the Curtis Arts and Humanities Center offers a variety of art and admission is free. For hours and information, call 303-797-1779.
Meet L.A. Sheriff's Deputy Rico Amante.
I was born in New York, almost incarcerated there, and now police in the streets of L.A. How's that for self-rehabilitation?
Meet his training officer, Senior Deputy John Henry Barnes.
My first name is for loved ones and friends. I don't love you, and you are not my friend.
Now put these two guys together in a squad car.
Hookers, nurses, and other cops. Absolutely married.
Which of the three is your wife, sir?
Shut up!
10-8, Officers on Duty, premieres this Sunday at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the three-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:55 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Let's head over to the phones. George, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, I wondered if you saw this little article in Dusty Saunders' paper or column last week.
I was in San Francisco all last week, so I'm afraid I did not.
Well, let me tell you. You know, you always say you're helping build this great radio station, and Dusty put in there that he wishes you guys could get a 1 rating in the Arbitron.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't sound like much of a great radio station to me.
Well, let me tell you how it all works, George, since the sarcasm is just dripping off of your nouns and verbs.
Well, it's meant to.
I know. It wasn't remotely subtle. We are a brand new radio station.
And typically,
takes radio stations a good long while, on average about 5 years. To get traction in any market. We're up against very formidable competition. Radio stations that signed on in the 20s, so they have 80 years of heritage listening with huge signals. So to get started is always a much lengthier process than anyone ever imagines. And then we have a rating system, which, you know, when they do the ratings, they put out diaries, they'll call you at random, and they'll ask you if you say you'll do it. I think they pay you about $5 or so. And you have to tell them in 15-minute increments exactly what you're listening to for a whole week, including even if you're in a grocery store or in a department store, what radio station might be on the PA. Now, if you think people answer that honestly, God bless you. What I think people typically do is the night before this thing is due, they draw an arrow, they name a set of call letters, and they draw an arrow through it. And these are the what are called the ratings that we all live and die by, even though there's a lot of opinion that thinks that they're seriously flawed. That aside, we have other means of measuring our audience, and we feel that we have a much larger audience than we are given credit for by some of the rating services, and we have some documentation. But I'm with Dusty. I hope the quicker we get those ratings numbers that are conventionally accepted, that would be wonderful. But it does take a lot longer than anyone ever thinks.
Everybody's wrong except you people. And everybody.
Wait. Now tell me what your real point is. I thought you wanted to talk about the performance of the station. What was it that you really wanted to say?
Well, I think the performance, I listen occasionally, and I hear the same diatribe out of you constantly. And as I told the guy that answered the
tell
phone.
Tell me, not him.
Well, I think you must have went to stupid school.
I must have. Let me see if I've got that direct quote right. I must have went to stupid school.
That's right.
Oh, look who's talking, George. 303-382-1150. I must have went to stupid school. Okay. There we go. So we thank Dusty for his wonderful Christmas wish, and we're all hoping the same. But boys and girls and buckaroos, it takes a very long time to make a talk radio station successful. On average, as I said, sometimes 5 to 7 years is the figure I've seen quoted. So that we are only about a year and a half old, that we have already had a frequency change. A lot of radio is habit-driven. So everybody got used to one dial position, and now we've moved to another dial position. But I would think that Denver, the feedback I've had from many listeners is that Denver is very grateful to have us. And I think we're doing a wonderful job. I am bringing you a level of guests on Enid Live that if I were listening to a similar show, I'd be very grateful for. I mean, I brought you Madeleine Albright. I brought you Caroline Kennedy. I brought you the top authors. If you look at the New York Times bestseller list, we have had all or most of those authors on this program. I have brought you John McCain, Senator John McCain, and Jim Lehrer, many of them live in studio. So I think that even if you disagree with my opinions, you're more than welcome to call in. We encourage you to do that. But this is certainly the place for lively, smart, and sometimes funny conversation. I'm Enid Goldstein. Don't go anywhere. Two more hours of Enid Live coming up right here on AM 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 36 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Net Zero High Speed. A multi-jurisdictional team has begun a massive investigation of Glendale's first ever fatal fire. This from Fire Chief A.J. Johansson on the heels of yesterday morning's blaze at the five-story Spanish Gate apartment complex on East Kentucky Avenue.
Parts of the team right now are evaluating the structure. We're looking at the structure to see its stability, how we're going to approach the investigation, how we're going to approach going in there and making sure that there isn't anybody else that could still be in there.
Because several floors collapsed in the fire, Johansson acknowledges there could be additional victims still within the structure. Meanwhile, the man suspected of starting the fire, 22-year-old Blake Fiber, made his initial court appearance today. Because the investigation hasn't been completed, no formal charges will be filed until next Monday. The fire left more than 40 families homeless. At least one person, as yet unidentified, is dead. Good news on the flu front. The latest numbers from the Colorado Department of Health and Environment showed a decline of slightly more than half compared to the week before. The newest figure came out today. The latest 720 cases bring the state's total count to 11,427. Doug Benevento, the department's executive director, expects the sharp decline to continue. Pueblo police and health inspectors are beginning to crack down on bars and restaurants violating the city's smoking ban. 26 citations were issued to bartenders and customers after an undercover inspection found the bartenders allowed customers to light up inside the bars. Plainclothes police and Pueblo Health Department officials checked bars that had been the subject of smoking complaints during recent months. Bar owner Bruno Medina says the city smoking ban is having a negative effect on his business.
You know, I've lost a lot of customers. I mean, good friends that used to come in here and sit right here and drink and have a good time, they don't come around no more.
Attorney Joe LaSavio says the smoking ban is unconstitutional. He is representing one customer who was ticketed and says he'll fight that ticket in court. A 62-year-old woman from Morrison was arrested over the weekend in Orlando, Florida, when security screeners allegedly saw a loaded semi-automatic gun in her carry-on bag at the Orlando airport. Geraldine Beeg's daughter told the Transportation Security Administration that the gun was actually hers and that she had put it in her mother's bag, although it's usually in her own car for protection. Scientists investigating the nation's first case of mad cow disease say they've cleared up the age discrepancy of the Holstein that tested positive about a week ago. They told reporters at a news conference today the cow was older than they thought. It was born in 1997, making the cow 6.5 years old when it was slaughtered in Moses Lake, Washington on December 9th. Officials also said 8 other head of cattle were shipped from the same herd in Canada to the U.S. They are currently trying to determine the whereabouts of those animals. All told, 81 cows from the infected animal's birth herd are being traced. The federal government is requiring airlines in certain cases to place armed law enforcement officers on flights over the U.S. The Department of Homeland Security says the measures are effective immediately and will upgrade security on commercial and cargo flights. From Washington, Nina Maria Potts reports.
U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge said the U.S. government is asking international air carriers to take protective action as part of its ongoing effort to make air travel safe for Americans and visitors alike. The move comes just after the United Kingdom announced tightened security on its transatlantic flights and suggested it may put armed security officers on flights it considers high risk. Senior U.S. intelligence officials revealed earlier this month that security analysts were concerned about the threat of September 11th-style attacks in which terrorists hijack planes as weapons. Nina Marepotz, Washington.
The World Health Organization is sending experts to China to verify a possible SARS case. If confirmed, the infection will be the first not connected with laboratory accidents since the WHO declared a global outbreak over in July. Stocks are all higher on Wall Street at this hour. The Dow is up 80 points, NASDAQ up almost 21 points, and the S&P 500 up about 8.5. In sports, the Vancouver Canucks come to town tonight to take on the Colorado Avalanche. Earlier this month, the Avs and Canucks skated to a 1-1 tie. The Denver Broncos got walloped 31-3 by the Green Bay Packers yesterday. The Broncos rested their regular starters, and Broncos head coach Mike Shanahan says he wanted to see his bench players play in the game.
Really give the second and third teamers a chance to get the reps they normally would get in a game like this. I thought it was more important for our team to practice like they normally practice. So even though a lot of guys didn't play too much today, they got the normal reps during the week, and now we get a chance to get a game plan in and play in Annapolis in their backyard, and that's what we've been looking forward to.
The Broncos' first playoff game is this coming Sunday against the Colts in Indianapolis. Surf the Internet up to 5 times faster than standard dial-up with net zero high speed, just $14.95 a month, including pop-up blocker. Call 877-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com today. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find datatarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. Datatarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. Datatarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. Datatarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Metabolife Ultra. And it seems like every time we get an accident cleared in the South Valley, another one comes up. Southbound I-25 at 225 had an accident into the left shoulder. We have another accident in the HOV lane, southbound I-25 at 225 as well. So still a slow drive, southbound I-25. Planning a New Year's resolution to lose weight? Pick up a bottle of Metabolife Ultra and keep that promise you've made to yourself. Metabolife Ultra, guaranteed to work or your money back. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. 44 for a high today. Temperatures right around where they should be. Lots of sunshine, just a few clouds. Later on tonight, down to 20 degrees. And for tomorrow, sunshine comes back for more. 47, and for Wednesday, a few degrees warmer, 51 with just a few clouds. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 38 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm back from San Francisco and delighted to be back. Had a great time, though, over Christmas. How was your Christmas? Anything that you want to report and share with us on the show and tell time on Enid Live? I'm more than happy to entertain your calls. We've been talking about more serious matters, however. We've been talking about this whole series of pestilences. If you read the newspaper, we've got earthquakes where 40,000 people are dead in Iran. We have got mudslides and flooding in Southern California, and people are feared dead there. We have got terrorism alert levels, the threat level raised to orange. Everybody was all over Howard Dean when they brought in Saddam Hussein, and he said, hey, it doesn't make Americans safer. And in fact, in Colorado, funding is scarce for homeland security. So being at war against Iraq, those of you who say, well, you know, this is nipping terrorism in the bud. It hasn't made us any safer here at home. And clearly, we're not safer if the alert level has had to be, the threat level has been raised to orange. The WorldNet Daily, which, as I said, is a very conservative publication, is reporting thusly. Intelligence pros say that the White House is manufacturing terrorist alerts to keep the issue alive in the minds of voters and to keep President Bush's approval ratings high. This is according to Capitol Hill Blue. It's reporting that story, and that's a respected publication in Washington. The Thursday report said that the administration is engaging in hysterics in issuing numerous terror alerts that have little or no basis. In fact, unfortunately, we have made a lot of progress. We haven't made a lot of progress against Al-Qaeda or the war on terrorism. One FBI agent familiar with terrorism operations told Capitol Hill Blue, we've been spinning our wheels for several weeks now. Other sources within the Bureau and the CIA said that the administration is pressuring intelligence agencies to develop something, anything, to support an array of non-specific terrorism alerts issued by the White House and the Department of Homeland Security. Most of the time, we have little to go on, only unconfirmed snippets of information, said a second FBI agent who was also not named in the report. Most alerts, he said, are issued without any concrete data to back up the assumptions. Now, did you see how many planes, how many flights were canceled? This is... The airlines are struggling so desperately now in a post-9/11 time, and a number of international flights were canceled in the wake of these terrorist alerts. Indeed, the most recent terrorist alerts have been issued absent specific threat information. Each of the accompanying warnings comes without any shift in the nation's new color-coded alert system. The current warning level, yellow or elevated, has been in place since last September, while it's now orange, as we know. Even recent reports regarding five Arab men who may have slipped into the country via Canada using phony ID could be politically motivated, one expert said. We have very, very little to support the notion that these five represent any more of a threat than any of the other thousands of people who enter the nation every day, said a terrorist expert. It's a fishing expedition, and one of those five was apparently tracked down in Pakistan by the Associated Press. He told reporters there that he'd never been to the U.S., although he said he tried once 2 months ago to use false documents to get into Britain to find work. So, you know, there is real terrorism, but you have a lot of manipulation going on to scare us. And to the extent that you're willing not to be outraged and you're willing to be manipulated into fear is the extent that you're going to get 4 more years of this. Wake up, America. 303-382-1150. And for 2004, George W. Bush, or George W. Dick Bush, has strength in white male numbers. He has a wide advantage in that right-leaning groups may, well, here it is. His overwhelming strength is among white men, and it looms as a central obstacle between Democrats and the White House as 2004 approaches. Well, one of you called in to say, instead of trying to recruit white men, maybe the Democrats are better off trying to recruit women and other people who are... But if you were going to try to change the minds of all these white men who are Bush followers, what would you attempt to do? What would it take to do it? How would you have to expose Bush as being... really not the macho guy that they think he is? What would be required? Would anything even work? Should the Democrats bother? 303-382-1150. Well, I always say bother, but... Kevin, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. Yeah, on this orange alert thing being manufactured, mm-hmm. I've sort of suspected that for some time, that they might be hyping the danger to us, and let me just say how reassuring it is to find out that that's true.
Well, this is what is being reported. I don't, true is true, but it's being reported in the Capitol Hill Blue, which is a pretty respected publication.
No, I know. I just say it's very, it's not reassuring, but it does confirm something that I've suspected for some time. And here's an angle on that. They were talking about all these international flights and all these pilots that they've identified as being sympathetic with Al-Qaeda. And I wonder to myself, well, two things. One, how long did they have this list of these pilots, and why didn't they act sooner? And the other thing is, when they were forming the list, how much effort did they make to include pilots they could later identify as suspects? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right, Kevin, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Van in Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well, Van.
Well, missed you.
Thank you.
Liked Jerome, though.
Thank you.
He was good.
He thanks you. Oh, and thank you to Jerome Davis. I should have thanked him immediately for filling in for me.
Yeah, I was just running down the stairs. Sorry about that. but, you know, first off, Dean's right. And I don't know why, you know, folks are so hard, you know, have such a hard time believing him. You know, when you're factually correct, I don't understand why the pundits are all jumping him for it.
Well, why they can jump him all they want, but why do people even, why does it stick? Why does he seem to be unpatriotic when he said what is essentially the truth? Are we so benumbed? Are we so unwilling to see the truth that we're all sitting around tittering at the emperor's new clothes rather than seeing that the emperor is completely naked and in need of some real serious cosmetic surgery?
Well, it's like we're all, you know, like the majority of Americans are like Bush, where they don't actually get their news from the news. They get their news from experts they trust.
Right.
And the problem is, you know, a lot, you know, the most popular experts that people trust are, you know, Rush and, you know, folks like Hannity. And
why does anybody trust somebody who's got a drug Jones, who's an addict and who lied to his audience? Why is there a huge amount? Now, I can see among the core people, it's like you finding out that your wife has turned into a junkie, but you still love your wife and you really don't want to see it. And so you try to brush it aside until one day you can't anymore.
Well, do you think it's just, I think it, in a lot of ways, it's just pure charisma. And, you know, I don't know why, you know, folks that are willing to actually look at issues in a truthful way can't seem to muster the charisma, you know, to get people to, you know, to listen and watch. Because it does. It seems that the folks...
So why are people so disengaged? They're not mustering charisma. Charisma is something that somebody else has.
Right,
but why are people so disengaged and so willing to be outraged on the roads or on airplanes where we have... air rage, we have road rage, we have cell phone rage, but when we're being screwed left and right, and in a very serious way, we're at a terrible crossroads, and in fact, I think we've already started to go down the wrong road, in Washington, people can't be bothered.
Yeah. I can't figure it out. I mean, this morning, I thought somebody was talking about liberal rage, you know, and maybe that's a new rage, and that was the other part of the reason I called, was that one thing I've kind of noticed just with, you know, people that I hang out with, as well as, you know, just the news and some of the, you know, the kind of libertarian slant conservatives, is that I think that with, you know, kind of making all the corporations free and totally deregulating kind of the corporate world.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I have something I want to share with you. What has happened is there's more surveillance over citizens and almost none over businesses.
And I wonder if that's not going to splinter the Republican Party to a certain extent. You know, maybe not this election, but in the long term.
I hope you're right, but maybe not long enough to keep from you-know-who getting reelected for another 4 years. Van, I thank you. 303-382-1150. Kenny in Arvada. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Kenny.
Two words for you. Jerome Davis. I thought he was excellent. He sounded like he knew what he talked about, and he only spoke about things that he knew about. With you, on the other hand, I hear a lot of things come out of your mouth, and you give many writers credit and many other journalists credit for things that you say and things that you believe in. But when callers call in and try to defend, try to give you a different point of view, if you don't agree with it, you shut them down. Three callers ago, you had a caller that stayed on for the whole segment. I was on hold, and I felt almost to a point embarrassed that I would give my time, knowing that you're going to cut me off on my view anyway, just because you don't agree with it half the time when I do call in.
Kenny, are you here? Are you being heard right now?
Oh yeah, I'm being
heard. Did I cut you off? I take your calls and I put you on. So what are you bitching about?
Okay, not to know.
Let me tell you something about quoting other people. I read, I have four papers delivered to me every morning, and when I come into the station, there's a fifth paper waiting for me. I cruise all the Washington Post and the LA Times and a million different websites and the wires and everything else, so that I can see as much as I can see and digest that, because most people don't have the time to do as much reading as I need to do to do this show in the way that I think it ought to be done. And I am happy to share that information with you, and I'm not passing it off as many hosts do. I'm not trying to pass it off as my own thoughts. I'm telling you that this is what so-and-so said in this newspaper, and that's what so-and-so said in that newspaper, and I will label my thoughts my own. But I think that Jerome does a wonderful job, and on that, you and I agree. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Andres calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Did you get my email? I was old sad, Andres, when I sent that to you.
I don't know. I haven't really had a chance.
That was a while ago. It was about a guy saving a family a long time ago.
Okay, well.
Okay, but anyway, my real worry is the reason I think that that Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and really charlatans like O'Reilly have legitimacy is that they do bring up one point. Okay, the schools, public schools are unsafe. Affirmative action does affect white people in wrong ways. And that the only reason when they say that, and the liberal media won't put any attention to it, they establish credibility.
I'm not following you.
Well, Rush Limbaugh is a charlatan. He 99% of what he says is false, and it's mischaracterization and the whole thing.
That's right. And that anyone takes him seriously is a great mystery to me, but not a real good barometer of everybody's IQ in this country.
But here's why they take him seriously, is he will bring up that one tone of fact that the liberals ignore, okay, that public schools are unsafe and that vouchers might be an idea, or that affirmative action...
Every public school is unsafe? All public schools are unsafe? I mean, give me a break.
Well,
that's baloney. Many parents can call me up to talk about that. They have children in school, and all public schools are not unsafe. And to try to propagate that as an idea shows you how dumb his audience has to be.
Well, but they experienced this. They've experienced the helplessness of going to their school principals and seeing this, or they know somebody who has seen this.
Maybe you're right about that, but I also think what he plays to are people's hatreds and prejudices, and a lot of what he does is thinly disguised racism.
Oh, I agree. But now, what about the fact that, illegal immigration, it really affects middle-class America. You know, okay, you want an extra job, you can't go against.
Wait. It does affect middle-class America, but in many ways it also affects middle-class America positively.
Oh, I don't think so.
You don't? Well, yes. Let me give you a couple of examples of how it does. Because you have illegal immigrants doing a lot of the agricultural work in states like California, even in states like Colorado, it keeps the cost of your produce down.
No.
If you had Americans working at native-born Americans working at a wage that they would accept, the cost of your groceries would be much higher.
No.
Also, you have illegals working in some of the clothing, the garment industry, and again, the clothing costs are kept lower as a result of it. I'm not suggesting that this is what we want to do. I'm just being realistic. This is what is happening, and I'm giving you, Andres, I'm giving you two examples where you are benefiting from illegals in this country.
No, you're saying no,
but you don't know what you're talking about.
We're not benefiting from slave labor, from people's wages.
You are benefiting in two ways that I have just given you. How can you not see that?
Here's how I can see that, is if we would cut the CEO's price tag from 4,000 times what the average worker makes.
I agree with you, but you are also benefiting in a million ways from illegals who are paying into the system and they can't take money out because they're illegal.
Here's where I'll prove you wrong. That they
you can't
know,
prove me wrong.
Okay,
you're wrong, Andres.
Here's how I'll try. They know that a hamburger, that the public will only give a dollar for the hamburger. If you pay that McDonald's worker $11 an hour, it'll have to come out of the CEO's end. But they can only sell that.
Darling, it's not going to come out. It's never going to come out of the CEO's end. It's going to come out of the, it will be passed along to the average consumer. I'm with you on the gap between the CEO salary, the average CEO salary, and an average worker salary. That gap is enormous.
Well,
it's unconscionable. It's unfair. And they're outsourcing jobs all over the place, but we don't see them outsourcing CEO jobs. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Red Dobbs, named best radio talk show host by Westword. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Join the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and pianist Chris O'Reilly for a performance of Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 2 on January 9th, 10th, and 11th. This Masterworks performance includes Mozart and more. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
AM AM 1150 KNRC features more in-depth reporting than any other Denver talk station. Our in-depth reports have been recognized by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and the Associated Press for 4 awards of excellence. Hear in-depth reports from award-winning KNRC reporters Mark Roberts and Stacey Farb during the Greg Dobbs Morning Show or anytime at knrcradio.com, where you can click it and own it. Denver's in-depth talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kellett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
124 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about politics. We're talking about many, many things. But I have a blockbuster here I want to share with you that I've seen reported only in the English papers and not in the American papers. If you will recall, shortly after it was announced that we brought in Saddam Hussein, Debcafile, which is a website based in Israel, did an analysis, and they thought that he had been kidnapped. It looked to them from their intelligence information and what they could analyze from the situation. He looked disoriented. Remember how he had that disoriented look? He had these guns, but he didn't shoot. To him, maybe the Americans looked like a relief compared to what he'd been through. And they theorized that he'd been kidnapped by some of his close henchmen in order to get that $25 million reward, the bounty. Remember that? The day after they brought him in, the government announced that it would not be paying out that bounty. And they were vague as to why it was not going to be paid. That the tip came as a byproduct of some investigation or something like that. Anyway, there was going to be no money paid. Now, months before, the English papers had reported that Saddam Hussein's people had made contact with the Americans wanting safe passage for Saddam Hussein to some other country, one of the stands maybe, and that the United States was leading him on, pretending like they might grant safe passage, but really they were just trying to close the noose tighter and tighter and tighter until they finally brought him in. Well, here is what the newspapers in England are reporting. Saddam Hussein was captured not by U.S. troops only after he had already been taken prisoner by Kurdish forces, drugged and abandoned, ready for American soldiers to recover him. This is according to a British newspaper. Saddam came into the hands of the Kurdish Patriotic Front after being betrayed to the group by a member of the Al-Jabur tribe whose daughter had been raped by Saddam's son Uday, leading to a blood feud. This was reported by the Sunday Express, which quoted an unnamed senior British military intelligence officer. The newspaper said that the full story of events leading up to the ousted Iraqi president's capture on December 13 near his hometown of Tikrit in northern Iraq exposes the version peddled by American spin doctors as incomplete. It's a little bit like the Jessica Lynch story where they peddled that kind of made-for-TV version and it had almost nothing to do with the real capture of Jessica Lynch. A former Iraqi intelligence officer, whom the Sunday Express did not name, told the paper that Saddam was held prisoner by a leader of the Kurdish Patriotic Front, which fought alongside U.S. forces during the Iraq War, until he negotiated a deal. The deal apparently involved a group gaining political advantage in the region. An unnamed Western intelligence source in the Middle East told the Express Saddam was not captured as a result of any American or British intelligence. We knew that someone would eventually take their revenge. It was just a matter of time. So somebody ratted him out, somebody who belonged to a tribe where a tribe member's daughter had been raped by Saddam's son Uday. It led to a blood feud, and it was the Kurds who took Saddam into custody, who captured him, kidnapped him after he was ratted out by somebody from a tribe that he had offended, and drugged him and abandoned him, ready for American soldiers to recover him. So in answer to the question of why didn't he use the pistol in his pocket, is that a gun in your pocket? Are you just happy to see me? Maybe this answers the question. What do you think about that, and does that change your view of anything? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And here is the Borowitz report. Saddam still captured. Approval ratings resurge on reannouncement. In a nationally televised address, President George W. Dick Bush announced on Sunday that former Iraqi strongman Saddam Hussein was, quote, still captured. Saddam Hussein remains very much in U.S. custody, as he has been for the last 2 weeks, President Bush said. To Mr. Saddam Hussein, our message is clear. You aren't going anywhere, Mr. Saddam Hussein. The president said that he chose to reannounce the capture of the Iraqi madman on Sunday because that day marked the two-week anniversary of Saddam's arrest in Tikrit. Today is a day for all Americans to remember that great and special day that occurred 2 weeks ago, Mr. Bush reiterated. Mr. Bush's approval ratings, which had leveled off somewhat over the past week, resurged after the reannouncement of Saddam's capture. Those political dividends suggest that the White House may carry through on a controversial plan devised by Chief Political Strategist Karl Rove to reannounce the capture of Saddam Hussein every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But political scientist David McCrory of the University of Minnesota warned that reannouncing the capture of the former Iraqi dictator on such a regular basis carries with it certain risks. Worst case scenario, people start tuning Mr. Bush out like they do with Tom Ridge, he said. Another proposal put forward by Mr. Rove is a so-called catch-and-release plan, in which Saddam Hussein would be released every few days, allowed to run away about 15 yards, and then recaptured by U.S. troops once more. It's like a free-range chicken. You know what it means, a free-range chicken? They can go like about 3 feet outside the cage. That is your average Rocky the free-range chicken. In other political news, Senator John Kerry raised the much-needed $8.3 million for his presidential campaign by selling his hair to Senator Joseph Biden. The Borowitz Report. Okay, so here, the English newspapers, not the Americans, because they're playing into this wild scenario that is propagated by Karl Rove and all the spin doctors in Washington, that we actually captured Saddam Hussein. Well, we did, after the Kurds already kidnapped him, drugged him, and left him for us to pick up. And he looked really disoriented. I mean, didn't he not look like a homeless guy? I really sort of felt sorry when they were, like, putting the gloves on and looking into his beard for weapons of mass destruction. I don't know. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. So if I would ask you, what has to happen for President Bush to convince his big following, and apparently this shows you that men are dumber than women. Most white males are followers, are supporters of George W. Dick Bush. This is his overwhelming strength, and the Democrats do not know what to do about it. Now, for a long time, as many of you know, I have been proposing a tax on men, a tax, not the other kind, a tax on men. And why am I proposing this? Well, first of all, they're the ones who commit most of the crime. So they take up most of the jail cells. They take up most of our tax dollars for that very reason. So I think that they have to pay a higher tax. Now, clearly, they are stupider than women because they wouldn't, if they were brighter, they wouldn't be such followers in a body of George W. Dick Bush. So for that reason, reason number two, I believe that the tax on men should be higher than the tax on women. What do you think? 303-382-1150. What would it take for Democrats to turn it around and be able to successfully bring in more white males? And why is it that so many white males are Bush followers and supporters? Does anybody have a theory about that? Is it because he seems like a macho guy, even though he's been wimpy, he hasn't been brave, he didn't fight in war? He is just Mr. Show and Tell. He pretends like he's a cowboy, Texas cowboy, but he was really born with a silver spoon in his mouth and a very long WASP lineage that is, high on the social scale, not necessarily on the morality scale. Why do you think so many white men are so enamored with George W. Bush? And what would it take to topple him from that position other than he's caught in a Michael Jackson-like situation or worse? What do they always say about politicians? You don't want to be caught in bed with a live girl or a dead girl or a live boy, I guess, or something like that. So short of that, what would it take for Democrats to make the case that Howard Dean is as tough as George W. Bush? I think the reality about George W. Bush is that he's a weak man. And one diplomat who had close dealings with him said that he was a weak man, and said that he'd been hot-walked, Cheney on the one arm and Rumsfeld on the other, hot-walked into that war with Iraq.
And I have no doubt that that's true. He doesn't act like a strong man. He gives you short sound bites. He's wholly incurious. What has he really accomplished on his own? The only reason they ever ran him for office is that he had a name, the name of his father and the background of his father. And he had a recognizable brand name, and they could run him for office, 303-382-1150. But he has got the strength of white male numbers, which doesn't speak well for white males. What would it take to convince white males to jump ship? Would it be a hit to their pocketbooks? Would it be some revelation about George W. Bush that would make him look as ridiculous as I think he probably is? What would it take? It can't simply be ads that will change people's hearts and minds. MoveOn.org has got some great, a really great spot that I was seeing on TV a week or so ago. I'm assuming it's still running. It was a real blockbuster of a spot. But even so, I think it's preaching to the choir. What is it going to take for people who are not typically, who are strong Bush supporters, who are white males, and why they are big Bush supporters, I do not know. I think it's the way he presents himself. He's a very, there's a lot of affability there. You know, he seems like a charming guy. And his you know, his neck scrunches down, and his collars always seem a little bit too big, don't they? You know, when he's talking, he scrunches down his neck or scrunches up his shoulders. You notice that move that he does? It's a move of being insecure, I think. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Tammy in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Am I live right now?
You are. Welcome.
I don't really have any comment either way. I just was wondering why you talk so much trash about President Bush.
I think he's a bad president, and I think he's leading us down a very bad road.
And what is your backup for that?
Have you not been listening, Tammy?
Yeah,
darling, wash out your ears. I mean, they lied to us about why we were going to Iraq.
And you know,
they lied to us about all the reasons,
you know,
the weapons.
Every detail behind every decision that they made.
Well, wait a minute. Have you seen those weapons of mass destruction that were going to be detonated within 45 minutes and we'd all be turned into a mushroom cloud? Where are they?
Well, have they? Just because we haven't seen them doesn't mean they're not there.
So you want to believe in something that you can't see? You, because you're in love with Bush?
No. That has nothing to do with it. I just have.
Well, how do you know? Where's your evidence? Where's your evidence that they do exist?
I'm not saying I have evidence either way. I just don't understand why you have to talk so much trash about someone who's done a great job of leading our country.
Where has he done a great job?
In many areas.
Give me some example. The economy is terrible. The deficits are a record historic deficit. You have a war that we didn't really have to be waging. Where's Osama bin Laden? Where's the war on terrorism?
We're still in it, basically. I'm just saying, I just don't understand.
I'm asking you to tell me, give me examples of how he's been such a great president.
I just think he has been a great president.
You can think that the earth is flat, but tell me how he's been specifically. How has he improved the country in his tenure?
He's picking up the slack of what everyone else left as crap.
He's picking up, there's a sign. Tammy, I'm asking you, for a specific example, and so far you're not giving me one. You're giving me these generalities, you're giving me cliches, but I don't hear a specific example of how George W. Bush has improved the country.
I don't have all these specific examples. All I have to say is...
Well, then you should inform yourself. Read a newspaper once in a while. If you're going to call a talk show and make a fool of yourself... Be armed with information. If you're going to tell me he's a great president, Tammy, and I'm happy to let you come on, I'm happy to talk to you, give me specifics to back it up. Now, well, I think so or I feel so. Tell me why you think he's great. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 38 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by RAD. A massive investigation by multi-jurisdictions is underway regarding Glendale's first ever fatal fire. A 22-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the fire that killed one person. Because several floors of the complex collapsed, investigators say there could be additional victims within the structure. Flu cases in Colorado continue to decline. The state health department said today there were an additional 720 cases reported during the past week. That's slightly more than half the cases of the week before. The health department expects the decline to continue. The town of Vail plans to enforce its curfew this New Year's Eve. People who are out celebrating the New Year after 10:30 p.m. need to be 17 years old or older, or need to be with a parent or guardian who is at least 21 years of age. Vail started the curfews in 2001 to knock down crowding and reduce underage drinking. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche host the Vancouver Canucks tonight at the Pepsi Center. Avs are coming off their Saturday 3-2 overtime win over the Philadelphia Flyers. RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving, says don't take your lifestyle on the road. Designate before you celebrate. Learn more at RADD.org. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
This is Wally Prue of the Prue Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by BMW, and just been a real tough drive southbound I-25 in the South Valley. Got another problem now southbound I-25 at Hampton. It's going to be on the off-ramp, so watch for that. We did clear the two accidents southbound I-25 at 225. We do have a no-injury off-freeway at Downing in Exposition. Cut through snow and ice easier than ever. Visit your local BMW dealers and ask about our all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5 and the new BMW X3. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Look for a gradual warming trend as we head into the start of the brand new year. Mostly sunny skies around the Denver area today with a high right around 44. We'll drop down to around 20 for the low tonight. Mostly sunny, 47 tomorrow, low 50s on Wednesday, and New Year's Eve, we're back in the low 20s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 38 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Jim Conder here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique, at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, joined International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC Market Watch.
Christmas may be behind us, but the Santa Claus rally is in full effect. Dow Industrial Average has just crossed the 10,400 level for the first time in 21 months, and it's holding there. Right now up 87 points, 10,412 the level. NASDAQ is also higher by 23 points. The S&P 500 now up 9. And the buyers can't seem to get enough gold despite the strength in stocks. Gold futures hitting the highest level in 15 years, topping $415 an ounce. Channel is credit to a continued sell-off in the dollar. Last check, down 0.5% against the euro, hitting a new record low. Fire sale on beef. Cattle futures again falling to the lowest allowable level at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, thanks to worries about mad cow disease, which are still impacting some stocks. McDonald's One of many winners on the Dow today, up over a quarter after J.P. Morgan upgraded the stock. Speculation that lower beef prices could actually help business. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
143 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, fired up here from San Francisco, because I'm really getting worried that the here you have a right-wing publication, WorldNet Daily, accusing the administration of manipulating the terror alert level for political reasons, that they do it with almost no intelligence justification. In every way, we are being manipulated. And the New York Times has got a wonderful piece about how there's a lot of oversight of civilians, but almost none for businesses. We are being surveilled, but businesses are not. They're getting a free pass, carte blanche. This is not a good thing. If you were going to, if you could blue sky it, how would you try to convince white men who are apparently a big part of President Bush's constituency? How would you try to convert them to the Democratic cause? Is it even possible? 303-382-1150. Or do you have any observations as to why so many white males, other than a definite IQ differential with women, how is it that so many of them are followers of George Bush? Can you tell me that? 303-382-1150. Adam, in Englewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, and to you,
and
too.
And we missed you last week.
Well, thank you.
A couple of things I wanted to ask you about and really comment on. And your question about why white men follow this guy, you know, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that he seems to identify with those people in terms of he's one of them. I think that it's a case of, you know, the guy is not smart. He cannot use the English language. He he cannot speak the language.
But this is what's so astonishing to me. He's not a smooth speaker. He's got a nice guy persona about him. But everything they says is a lie. We're supporting our troops. Well, he's cutting the budget. He's whatever he says he's doing, he's really doing. No child left behind. He leaves them all behind. As soon as the cameras go, so do the children. They get left behind immediately. So everything they say is pretty much a lie, and nobody's outraged, and people like him so much they're going to vote him in again. And I don't understand why that's going to happen.
And when Howard Dean, and I'm a Howard Dean supporter, and I think when he speaks the truth and people are outraged, I just can't believe that, because the guy gets up there and he says, America is no safer with the capture of Saddam.
Well, he was right.
How do people not understand that? We are not any safer.
He was right, and a second after he said that, practically just a few days or a week or so after he said it, the terror threat level got raised to orange, so he was clearly right.
And I think what the right is doing, if you watch Sean Hannity, I happen to watch the Fox News channel quite a bit, actually, even though they claim to be fair and balanced, they're really not. But the Sean Hannity, he gets up there, and I think what they do is they manipulate what people say, and they kind of change it around. Like Sean Hannity the other night repeatedly said that Howard Dean said that the world is not safer. That's not what he said. He said America is not safer. In other words, another September 11th could happen simply because we captured Saddam. I mean, the guy, was he really a threat?
He had nothing to do. He had nothing to do with 9/11.
He was down in a hole in the ground with a bunch of cash. I mean, how on earth is that a threat to us?
And we didn't even bring him in, according to these reports coming out of England. He was brought in by the Kurdish, who left him there for us.
And I think that if, in answer to your question, which is how do we convince these white men who are just blind followers of George Bush, I think if they start to look at the facts and really look at the truth and not what he tells us and not what Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, I mean, I think a lot of these guys are just parrots who go around repeating what Sean Hannity
says. Well, and if they're not repeating what Sean Hannity or those guys say, they're making it up.
Exactly.
So I think
what we need to do is tell them, you know, look, are you better off? I think we should use, personally, I think whoever the Democrat is needs to get up there and use what Reagan used in 1980, which is, are you any better off than you were 4 years ago? And clearly the answer is no, regardless of who you are, unless you're the top 1% who got the vast benefit of his tax cuts. You really aren't any better off.
Adam, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Gloria, hi, you're live with Enid. Gloria,
hi.
Hi,
how
welcome.
Are you?
Good.
Good. And the reason I was calling is because I really do admire President Bush, and I am glad that he is our president. I do think that things have been better, even though there have been rough times, and not by his doing, but by things that have gone on in our world that have needed to be changed and having to secure our homeland.
How do you, specifically, why do you think he's done a good job? Give me some specific instances where he has done a very good job.
Okay, well, I feel like he has protected the United States of America.
In what way?
By sending our troops over to Iran, by getting Saddam Hussein, looking for... Osama.
How does that protect us? Because the terror threat alert is at orange, so bringing in Saddam Hussein didn't lower the terror threat alert from yellow to whatever color it might be, blue, I suppose. we haven't been there in a long time, so I don't know.
You know what? The only thing I can tell you is that I really do believe that he's done a great job, and it's been difficult times.
But Gloria, you can believe anything. You can believe that the earth is flat. But how does bringing in Saddam make us safer, and how does going to war with Iraq make us safer? You can argue that by taking our first responders and taking them over to Iraq, we are more vulnerable.
No, I don't agree with you on that, because I really believe that we have had to go over there to defend and even help those people that were over there. You know, it's not just about us, it's about everybody.
Well, why don't we go to Rwanda where genocide, millions of people
because
are being murdered?
That isn't the people that have come over here at this point in time.
Wait a minute, come over here. The Iraqis aren't coming over here either, and they aren't responsible for 9/11. Saudi Arabia, 15 of the 19 were Saudis.
I do know that.
I read the newspaper, Gloria. 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis. So why didn't we go to Saudi Arabia? Don't you think we should have gone there instead?
Okay, let me just say something real quick, okay? We can sit here and kick this back and forth all day long, and you've got your propaganda that you believe in, and I know what I believe
in as well. I know you know that you believe that President Bush is great and that the earth is flat, and God bless you for believing whatever you want. But don't sit here and tell me that Saudi Arabia had nothing to do with 9/11 and that Iraq had a lot to do with it, because Iraq had nothing to do
that.
With 9/11, and Saudi Arabia had everything to do with 9/11, and why didn't we go to Saudi Arabia? Maybe if we were going to go after somebody.
Because at this point in time, that's not where it happened. I don't know.
Not where what happened?
Where the people are coming from over there.
Where the people are coming from, Gloria, I don't understand a word of what you are telling me.
You know what? You don't want to listen. You just want to argue the point.
No, you are lapsing into incoherence, and you are making no sense. I'm happy to let you make an argument, but when you tell me that the Saudis have nothing to do with Iraq and they are coming over here, who are coming over here? Who are you talking about, Gloria?
It's all of them together that are against the United States of America.
So let's go get Osama bin Laden. He's the head
That's
of it.
Who he's got after.
No. We've taken all the people who were supposed to be out after Osama bin Laden, and now they're in Iraq. So really, Osama bin Laden is flourishing there with the heroin trade.
The way that it took time to get, I can't think of his name offhand. The one they just captured.
Saddam Hussein.
It took time to get him. It's going to take time to get Osama.
We actually didn't bring in Saddam Hussein. The Kurdish brought him in. All right, Gloria, I rest my case. 303-382-1150. Oh, my God. No wonder Bush is going to get reelected. Oh, God. We have one line open. The lines are full. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, the Monday edition of Enid Live, right here on KNRC.
Get your side. Get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Many young Americans have a learning difference that makes it difficult to reach their full academic potential. Research indicates that more than 40% of our population fits this description. Denver Academy specializes in teaching students with learning differences. If your child's not experiencing the academic success in school you want, contact Denver Academy at 303-777-5161 or go online to denveracademy.org.
Meet L.A. Sheriff's Deputy Rico Amante.
I was born in New York, almost incarcerated there, and now police in the streets of L.A. How's that for self-rehabilitation?
Meet his training officer, Senior Deputy John Henry Barnes.
My first name is for loved ones and friends. I don't love you, and you are not my friend.
Now put these two guys together in a squad car.
Hookers, nurses, and other cops. That's who we marry.
Which of the three is your wife, sir?
Shut up!
10-8, Officers on Duty, premieres this Sunday at 8, 7 Central on ABC. Talk to Greg Dobbs.
Okay, here's real justice. Unmitigated, genuine, obvious, don't argue with me justice. This guy in Tucson yesterday goes up to a Salvation Army setup, and the woman who is volunteering is in a wheelchair herself. She has cerebral palsy. She's 60 years old. This guy comes up, grabs the pot. She struggles with him. He runs with the pot, crosses the street, gets hit by a car.
There is justice out there.
Boy, yes.
Greg Dobbs, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1150 KNIC.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:53 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. The lines are full. Let's go right to work. John on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Yeah, hi. Just driving in back home to Denver from vacation and found your channel, and I'm in here with a group of friends, and we just can't believe what you're saying.
You can't. What can't you believe?
Well, how are things better? Well, I don't know, but the Kurds are safer. The Iraqis are liberated. For the first time in 8 years, the United States is not getting kicked around by every stupid dictator. How could you say that the world is not better off with us?
We are not better off because I'll tell you what, our first responders are in Iraq right now, so that if we were attacked, they wouldn't be here to help us out. We have taken away our attention from Osama bin Laden to Iraq. Saddam Hussein, even though he's a bad guy, no question about that, we supported him. He was on our payroll for a long time, and he was not a direct threat to us. He had nothing to do with 9/11, nothing substantial to do with 9/11. And by the time we went in there, his hands were tied behind his back. He was cuffed by the weapons inspectors, not a direct threat to us. But we have committed so many resources there now that we really don't have as many resources to commit to the war on terrorism to people who are really genuinely intent on harming us. So I don't understand how you could argue otherwise.
Well, I would disagree just based on factual information. I mean, we do have troops in Afghanistan, primarily special ops, hunter-killer outfits that are continuing to look bad. We put 150,000 troops into Iraq. Syria all of a sudden is talking about coming around to the West. Gaddafi all of a sudden wants to be friendly and disarm nukes. I think 150,000 combat troops in the backyard may have a little something to do with
it. It may. I won't dispute you on that, but it has nothing to do with Al-Qaeda.
Let me finish with my thoughts. For the first time in 8 years, when they were slaughtering people in Rwanda, and the Democrats did nothing about that, we have a president who's willing to commit United States personnel on a moral basis to combat evil in the world.
Well, he's not going. He hasn't gone anywhere near Rwanda.
You may not feel that they're coming after you personally. This is the ignorance. They came after the coal. They came after the embassies. It was a democratic watch.
This president has done nothing about Rwanda at all. He's gone into Iraq because he could do it, because it was an army that was weak, and he could knock them over. But it certainly doesn't make America safer. And if it did, we wouldn't be on an orange alert. And it's been argued rather successfully that in taking the attention away from Osama bin Laden, remember him, been forgotten, that we have left ourselves much more vulnerable, and our activities in the Middle East, the occupation, are acting as a magnet. We had no real strategy for the occupation, and we're getting sabotaged left and right. So I don't see where we are a lot safer or where we're actually fighting the war on terrorism. Why aren't we doing something about Saudi Arabia?
You have the microphone, and you like listening to yourself speak. Why aren't you addressing the points I put up?
I am addressing the points you put up.
You haven't addressed a single point that I put forward.
I have addressed every single point. What point did I not address?
In other words, you said we're not going after
You told me that we are safer. Yeah. What you said is that we are safer because we've gone into Iraq. And I'm telling you that in many significant ways, we are a lot more unsafer having gone into Iraq.
U.S. embassies have been hit since we went to Iraq. I know there's been no 9/11 since we went to Iraq and Afghanistan. Yes, To me, there is a reversal of a trend that was allowed to continue under 8 years of democratic isolationism that would allow ourselves to get...
This is a more isolation... This is a regime that is far more isolationist than any of the democratic regimes that I can ever recall. And let me tell you something. He has alienated our oldest... Excuse me, we can't both talk at the same time. Can't you... Do you not realize that? You ask me a question, I'm answering it. This is a regime much more isolationist than any that I can recall. This is a regime that has alienated our closest, oldest allies. And I can't see anything that this regime has done to improve life for the ordinary American. They've made life a lot richer for the top 1% of Americans, but the rest of it's going to be paid for on the backs of the middle class and the working poor.
You're working. Unemployment is under 6%.
Unemployment is terrible. They're losing more jobs. They are losing more jobs than they have created. You know, I want to tell you something. Read a newspaper. Inform yourself. 303-382-1150. Elizabeth in Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. You're a lady sent from heaven.
Well, thank you, but I don't think everybody is agreeing with you today.
I can't get over the ignorance that's calling in.
Well,
it kind of upsets me. They should be reading. They should be listening. I called my neighbors down the block here and told them, please listen to the station.
Well, thank you.
So there I'll with you, but I'm 100% behind you.
Thank
you.
We've
been lied to so many times. I'm so discouraged with that man.
Elizabeth, are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
We're going to have to give you our cheesy kiss later because it's technically not possible right now, but we'll give it to you when you call again. I thank you very much for your kind words. 303-382-1150. Johnny in Lakewood, can you say it in about 10 seconds?
Well, it just shows the example of the nitwits that are calling in. I mean, that's the people that are going to vote. I have guys I work with that are middle class, not rich, that sound just like these guys with Tammy and this idiot that just called. That are going to vote for this guy.
They're going to vote for him, and there's nothing you can say that is going to dissuade them.
I think what it is they voted for him the first time and are embarrassed.
We got to leave it there. We're out of time. Thanks very much. One more hour of Enid Live coming up on AM 1150.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 42 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by BMW. A massive investigation by multi-jurisdictions is underway regarding Glendale's first ever fatal fire. Glendale Fire Chief A.J. Johansson says his department welcomes the outside investigative help it's getting from local and national jurisdictions.
We're a pretty small little department, and we certainly don't have the resources to do this type of investigation. So we are really welcoming all the help we're getting from Arapahoe County, all the surrounding agencies, and the ATF.
A 22-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the fire that killed one person because several floors of the complex collapsed. Investigators say there could be additional victims within the structure. Murder charges have been filed against a man in the death of a 15-month-old girl. Prosecutors filed the charges against 34-year-old Lawrence Feist, accusing him of first-degree murder and child abuse resulting in death. Feist told police that he and three other adults were watching Haley Murphy and some other children on December 19th when he himself passed out. He claims that when he woke up, the other three adults weren't there and Haley wasn't responding. Police were told by a pair of four-year-old children who were there that Feist had smashed the girl into a couch, sat on her, and even covered her mouth to stop her crying. Some of Feist's relatives say he never should have been left with the kids when he was drunk. Feist has a March 5th preliminary hearing. The members of the Virginia Dale Community Church plan that the rebuilding their church will be finished sometime in February. The church was burned down in an arson fire on November 16th. A volunteer firefighter has been accused in the arson case. The original building was 123 years old. The new building for the still active church is being built in the same style as the original. Colorado cattle ranchers and restaurant owners say their businesses are being affected by the cow in Washington State that has been diagnosed with mad cow disease. Fred Lombardi, executive director of the Colorado Beef Council, says Coloradans can still buy beef without fear. Rancher Tom Wine says the mad cow discovery in Washington is unrelated to Colorado beef.
When you look at all the ranchers and the beef producers that we have just here in Colorado, I mean, this clearly has nothing to do with the beef product here in Colorado.
The USDA is putting in overtime trying to get to the bottom of the nation's first confirmed case of mad cow disease. Agriculture official Dr. Kenneth Peterson says the risk of mad cow disease, or BSE, becoming a problem in the U.S. is very small.
The global experience with BSE is not new. Though the U.S. has been wrestling with it for less than a week now, of course it goes back to the late 1980s in the global community. We have, during that time, there have been quite a variety of studies looking at BSE-infected cattle.
Dr. Peterson, along with other officials, added that the meat recall now underway in several states is being done out of, quote, an overabundance of caution. Officials emphasize, quote, there is no reason to question the safety of the U.S. food supply. Non-domestic carriers are being ordered by the United States to have sky marshals on some flights heading in and out of the U.S. as a security precaution. The mandate comes at a time when the nation's terror threat level is at high, and intelligence officials have expressed concerns that terrorists may use foreign flights to launch attacks against U.S. targets. Hope of finding two children missing from California's Christmas Day mudslides is fading. Search teams with dogs are out again today scouring areas in and around San Bernardino for the two who were among a large group swept away by a wall of mud and debris. Excluding the two children, the death toll from last Thursday's mudslide stands at 14. A papal envoy to Burundi has died after being shot three times in an ambush. Army officials in the civil war ravaged South African nation say rebels are to blame for the death of the Vatican representative. However, the rebels deny any involvement. On Wall Street, stocks continue to climb. Shortly before the close, the Dow was up 113 points, NASDAQ up 29 points, the S&P 500 up about 10 points. In sports, Northwest Division leader Vancouver has a four-point cushion over the third-place Avs, and Vancouver will try to create some additional space when the two teams meet tonight at the Pepsi Center. Colorado defenseman Adam Foote says even if it's still December, he knows this game is pivotal.
Any division game's big, but you know we've been seeing the last couple of years been chasing each other, and it's like you say, it's a big four-point game, and both teams want it.
In their only previous meeting this season earlier this month, the Avs and Canucks tied 1-1 in Vancouver. Face-off tonight set for a little after 7 o'clock. Cut through snow and ice easier than ever. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about their all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5 and the new BMW X3. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
To be competitive, small businesses need big ideas. For example, using eBay to cut costs on new and used computers and other business equipment. Right now on eBay, smart business people in all industries are finding great deals on brand name laptops, desktops, cell phones, networking gear, even industrial equipment. At ebaybusiness.com, you'll find what your business needs at prices you want to pay. ebaybusiness.com, the best friend a small business ever had.
KNRC News Time is 2:05. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is sponsored by Net Zero High Speed. We're clearing an accident southbound I-25 at Hampton. Things should be finally getting back to normal on southbound I-25 through the South Valley. Downing in X position. And we do have a report of a guy on the highway. This is going to be I-25 right around Arapahoe. So just be aware if you're driving down past the tech center. Surf the internet up to five times faster than standard dial-up with Net Zero High Speed. Just $14.95 a month, including pop-up blocker. Call 877-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com today. Today, I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A mix of sun and clouds through the rest of the afternoon and a very nice warm-up over the next couple of days ahead. We'll eventually top out right around 44 for our high today. 20 for the overnight low tonight. Mostly sunny, upper 40s tomorrow, low 50s on Wednesday and New Year's Eve. We'll be back in the 20s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 42 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:06, 6 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, back from San Francisco. Thrilled to be back. Thrilled to go. It was a great trip. A shopperama. I took my president's advice and shopped till I dropped and ate and saw my friends, and it was wonderful. And saw these reports about mad cow disease, and they're looking for the Holstein. And I thought, oh, they're probably looking for the Goldstein, and they'll call me the mad cow. Ha ha ha. Anyway, We're talking about Bush. We're talking about how many that it is being reported that Bush has a franchise on white males. They are a big part of his constituency. Why? What would it take to unseat the white male audience from Bush? Why are they so big into Bush when he's sort of a fake dime store cowboy, drugstore cowboy? 303-382-1150. And the New York Times had a lot to say about the new Republicans now that they're running everything and what we can see in them. And what we can see is more surveillance over ordinary Americans and almost no surveillance, or far less, over businesses. Businesses get the pass. They get the tilt. But not ordinary citizens. Not a good thing for democracy. 303-382-1150. Kathy, calling from Masonville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Kathy.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. I just have to stick up for white men.
You do?
Well, yeah, because I don't know any white men who like George Bush, actually. Even my father, who's a lifelong Republican, doesn't like him, and I don't think is going to vote for him. He's 86 years old.
Did he vote for him the last time?
Yes.
But he's not going to this time.
I don't think so. I think he really thinks his economic policy is crazy. And how can you have wars all over the world and not you have to pay for it somehow? I mean, it's sort of surprising to my father, who went to the Wharton School, that you can run wars all over the world and not raise taxes.
Yeah, exactly right. It's like going shopping forever without ever paying off your credit cards or having a cent of income.
And my husband is a Vietnam veteran, and he came from a fairly basic southern family in Louisiana, although his parents were from Arkansas. And his parents absolutely loved FDR. And, my husband, he can't stand Bush. I mean, for one, being a Vietnam veteran with Bush's record, that's something that really sets my
But he didn't
off.
Vote for Bush in the first place.
Oh, never,
so
never.
So we can't consider him part of our sample.
Oh, right.
But I wonder what it's going to take. Why do white men, this is what's being reported, that he has a huge base of white men. Why are they so enamored of George W. Bush? And what will it take to move him out of the Bush camp?
But why are women enamored? You had two female callers who liked him. And I read an article once in Truth Out, I think it was back in September, written by a psychologist who specializes in abusive relationships. And she claims that when Bush speaks to the American public, he speaks like an abusive husband would speak to his spouse. And after reading that kind of explains certain things to me. Some of his gestures and the way he belittles people. And he talks about how he's going to save us, and he's the only one that can save us. He never mentioned.
I think he's the guy who is a real weak guy. I think I have a feeling that Laura might run more of the show than you realize.
I wish she did. Actually, she's a librarian. She can't be that bad. I mean, I can't imagine why she. Well, anyway, I won't get into that. But wait a minute.
I think he's a weak guy, and so therefore he spouts off with those pronouncements that make him look like he's strong. If you look at his body language, he always scrunches up his shoulder. He seems like a very insecure guy to me, who's got a hot-headed temper. And I don't see him as a strong, abusive guy. But if you'll notice, the women who called could not articulate specifically why they liked him. They just like him. That's it. It's no more than falling in love with somebody. But logically, I don't see why people fall in love with him.
I've also spent some time discussing this with a cousin of mine who's in his 80s. He's a very interesting person. And he feels that there are two reasons why people like Bush. One of them is they're not well educated, and the other is he thinks that religion plays a big role. And I do think that over my lifetime, and I'm 57 now, that we see more evangelical Christians who are active in politics, and I think there might be something to that.
I think there is something to that. I think he's got that is his base, and he certainly plays to that base. But why, ordinary middle class workers whose interests are not served by this administration, why they're such big champions of his is a great mystery to me. Kathy, I thank you for the call.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. 303-382-1150. Sandy, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I will vote for Bush anytime.
Why?
Because he doesn't kill babies, because I'm a Christian. And I'd like to see you discuss things with O'Reilly. You have a big mouth. I bet his is bigger.
But
goodbye.
See, you can't make the case, Sandy. So you want to call up and you say nasty things and you're going to, do a stink bomb. 303-382-1150. See, these are the people who are big Bush supporters. Now, they reveal themselves to you. I don't have to reveal them. So you tell me what this says about his support and why people are supporting him. 303-382-1150. This is from today's New York Times, the New Republicans. The Republican Party has been in charge of the national agenda for almost 3 years now. Democratic majorities in Congress don't crimp George W. Bush's style the way they did his father, Ronald Reagan, when they were in office. And here's so it's very clear this is not his father's GOP. This is what the New York Times is saying. The most striking thing about the new Republicanism is the way it embraces big government. The Bush administration has presided over a $400 million expansion. Oh, no, I'm sorry, $400 billion expansion of Medicare entitlements. The party that once campaigned to abolish the Department of Education has produced an education plan that involves unprecedented federal involvement in local public schools. There is talk from the White House about a grandiose new moonshot. Budgetary watchdogs like the Heritage Foundation echo Republican Senator John McCain's complaint about drunken sailor spending. What has happened to the Republicans does not seem to reflect the actual shift in ideology. Indeed, the philosophic center of this administration is hard to pin down. Yet, whatever the reason, some formerly reliable Republican doctrines seem to have disappeared. Federalism is a case in point. After decades of extolling state governments as the best laboratory for new ideas, Republicans in Washington have now been resisting state experimentation in areas ranging from pollution control to anti-spam legislation to prescription drugs. Late 20th century Republicanism was also an uneasy alliance of social conservatives who were comfortable with government intervention in citizens' lives when it came to morality issues, and libertarians who wanted as little interference as possible. That balancing act ended on 9/11. Since then, the Justice Department has enlarged the intrusive powers of government by, among other things, authorizing sneak and peek searches of private homes and suspending traditional civil liberties for certain defendants. The story of the military chaplain who was arrested, apparently mistakenly, as a suspected terrorist and then wound up being publicly humiliated with a public vetting of his sex life seems like a summary of a libertarian's worst fears of an overreaching federal government. The Republicans' newly acquired activism, however, has very clear limits. The modern party's key allegiance is to corporate America, and its tolerance for intrusive federal government ends when big business is involved. If there is a consistent center to the domestic philosophy of the current administration, it is the idea that business is best left alone. This is now from the New York Times. The White House and Congress have chipped away at environmental protections that interfere with business interests on everything from clean air to use of federal lands. The administration is determined to deliver on corporate America's goal of cutting overtime pay for white-collar workers. At the same time, it has been tepid in asserting greater federal vigilance over the developing scandal of workplace safety. So whether it's the scandal of checking the meat supply, inspecting the meat supply, surveilling the meat supply, or surveilling federal safety, forget it. They're not there for us. But when it's surveilling you, the citizen, when it's going into your bedroom, when it's signing additions to the Patriot Act and to the stealth of when they brought in Saddam Hussein, then they're right there. 303-382-1150. John, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. I should tell people the lines are full. There is one line open, though, so somebody grab it, 303-382-1150. Yes, John.
Okay, first off, I want to say that I'm white male, and I'm a little offended by what you're talking about. I never was a huge Bush fan. I guess I leaned a little liberal until 9/11, but it was clear to me that something had to be done. So I think one of the reasons why we went into Iraq and why I think it was a good idea is that you had a dictator that had control of the third largest accumulation of one of the most valuable natural resources on the planet, and he hated America. And now he doesn't.
Are you aware that he was on our payroll for many years?
I am. Yes, I am aware of that. He was kind of the lesser of two evils between those two. Like, I don't know who decided that, but between Iraq and Iran, yeah, I'm aware.
All right,
of it.
So he was on our payroll, and the truth of the matter was, where he was at the time that we went in, he was not a threat. We should have saved our resources to go into where they were a threat to us. We have now committed our resources to a place that's not a threat, that is now acting as a magnet for terrorists all over the world, and we haven't a well-thought-out occupation.
I do understand what you're saying, and I've heard you say that before, and I understand your point. One thing, to keep bin Laden kind of running from cave to cave in the mountains is probably better than allowing him to just sit around talking with all the people that he
indicator.
But what is it? How has it made us safer? We're on an orange alert. It hasn't done a thing for us. It's made us more vulnerable.
But to associate the alert level necessarily with whether or not we have Saddam, I think is not a pure linkage. I don't think you can say that.
When Howard Dean said it doesn't make America safer, he was absolutely right. And then the alert level went to orange. And a right-wing publication like WorldNet Daily says that the regime is manipulating those alert levels to keep us frightened, that there's really no reason to raise the alert level.
I understand that, and I think there is some truth to that. Again, I think that for you to stereotype white males like this and say that they're dumb is really not fair. It may be a ploy to get a lot of people excited and to call you, which I can understand too. But again, let me get back to the point.
Are you going to vote for Bush in the next election?
Well,
all things equal.
About that. I was very upset that he stole the election. Okay, I was. But I'm glad that he had the wherewithal to go in, even though he's not smart, but to go in and take care of this guy who had... I'm telling you, this is one of the ugly truths.
Why didn't he go in and take care of Osama bin Laden or the Saudis?
Well, you can't when he's running around the mountains, okay? It's not like...
We could find him.
No, you can't. They're trying.
Oh, you can find... They
know
where he is.
They're trying. Okay, how do you do it? You can't put a person on every square foot.
He's 6 foot 5 inches tall, hooked up to a dialysis machine, and he's got a whole entourage. I think they can find him.
Well, he may be, he may not be, but there is one point, okay, that I do want to make before you let me go, and that is that... it was an ugly truth that we needed to get rid of Saddam Hussein because he controlled those natural resources and he was a enemy to Americans. Whether you're left or right, if you're an American, you know Saddam
he's not
was
an enemy.
Enemy.
He had nothing to do with 9/11. He's not an enemy. He was
an enemy.
He was effectively
9/11.
John. He was effectively being contained at the time that we went in. He was not at that moment a threat to us.
Exactly where all his money was going. Obviously, some was going into.
But John, let me
nations.
Ask you: do you think he was really a threat to us? The weapons inspectors were in. The whole world was scrutinizing him. Was he a threat to us when we went in?
I'm glad you asked that because the weapons of mass destruction, although they were used primarily as the reason to go into Iraq, that was not the reason we went there.
Was he a threat to us?
Was he a threat to us? Well, see, primarily we wanted his resources, right? Okay, we can't.
John, you are not disproving my IQ differential here in these arguments.
That's just ridiculous for you to say that. I mean, truly.
But we're delighted that you called. Thank you for doing it. 303-382-1150. Tim in Lakewood, I, you're live with Enid.
Well, that's because I believe you're sitting on a flatline IQ, but that's another subject. You know, you belittled that lady in the last hour, and
which lady are you talking about? Refresh our memory.
The one who couldn't give you an answer about all the reasons why she likes President Bush, and she just simply likes President Bush. And I think it really comes down, it falls on one nail that hangs the entire picture, is that people, after 8 years of what the meaning of is, like the fact that a man means what he says and says what he means.
But he's been lying to us the whole way
about
through.
About what?
Well, he said that first of all, he lied about the reasons for going. He lies about the reasons for going into Iraq, weapons of mass destruction. Where are they? We haven't found them yet. And the whole business about that they're so potent that in 45 minutes they could reach the East Coast and we're all toast and we're all turned into a mushroom cloud. That all turned out to be lies. State of the Union information about enriched uranium going to get it in Africa, Iraq, that would turn out to be a lie. That he supports our troops when at the same time he's cutting the veterans, the VA budget, a lie, and also cutting money out of the military budget for troops and to get added pay for combat duty, a lie. All of it a lie, that no children should be left behind, a lie. AmeriCorps not going to fund it, a lie. So how can you tell me, I mean, whatever Bill Clinton lied about, it was pretty much his sex life and nobody died as a result of it, except maybe Monica Lewinsky's hopes for a romantic entanglement. But you've got people here losing their lives because of a tissue of lies. So, Tim, how do you tell me that he does what he says and he says what he does?
Well, the reason that the Bill Clinton wasn't exposed as the most corrupt administration in presidential history is because the press wanted to stay in that little storage room.
This is ancient history, but you're telling me that the reason you like George Bush is that he does what he's a guy who keeps his word and he does what he says, and he's all about lying, and you're not outraged about that. How is that?
Because The outcome of what has happened is good for the American people. It is good for the world.
How is it good for this country when it's made us more vulnerable and the economy is a shambles?
The economy is a shambles. Now, you tell me why the economy is a shambles. You know, you got listeners out there listening to you, and they're looking at their
I'm telling you, I'm asking you why you think this administration is so great, Tim, and you're telling me that he's a man of his word, that Bush is a man of his word, and every word, almost every significant word he has given us has turned out, much to my sadness, to be a lie. And you still want to look up at him as a man of honor. And then when I tell you, I ask you, what else has he done, you tell me, well, and I'm telling you, the economy is a shambles. Well, you start to challenge me. You have nothing specific. The economy is a mess. We're in historic deficits. We want to spend money, like John McCain says, a drunken sailor, for things that we cannot afford. And you're telling me this guy is a man of his word. I think you must be smoking the same stuff that Russia's taking. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNIC.
Men and women, if you're experiencing hair loss, going bald, or considering hair transplants, then you should know about an incredible hair regrowth system that guarantees you twice as much hair within 90 days. Announcing Hair Advantage. Hair Advantage is a revolutionary hair regrowth system designed to naturally stop the cause of hair loss while stimulating hair regrowth. Simply take the all-natural DHT blocker and let it work for you. It attacks the cause of your hair loss, which is a bad body chemical known as DHT. It will block its formation while the patented and FDA-approved hair regrowth formula can stimulate new and dense hair regrowth. So what are you waiting for? Reverse your baldness or hair loss today, the natural way. Try Hair Advantage risk-free and experience the best hair regrowth you've ever seen. Now you can have up to twice as much hair within 90 days guaranteed. Call now for your risk-free trial. Trained hair consultants are standing by. Call toll-free. 1-800-213-3497. That's 1-800-213-3497. That's 1-800-213-3497.
AM 1150 KNRC features more in-depth reporting than any other Denver talk station. Our in-depth reports have been recognized by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and the Associated Press for 4 awards of excellence. Hear in-depth reports from award-winning KNRC reporters Mark Roberts and Stacey Farr during the Greg Dobbs Morning Show, or anytime at knrcradio.com, where you can click it and own it. Denver's in-depth talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
Line up with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:25 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we are talking about why George Bush has a base of white men. And all the people who've called in support, you've heard it for yourself. Several women have called trashing me and saying how great Bush is. But when you ask them for specifics, they just trash me more, and they don't really offer any specifics. And when you confront their specifics, like our last caller, Tim says, Bush is a man of his word. He does what he says. He says what he does. And it's all, you know, Bush is a liar. And there's a real corruption in that. And this is a regime that's made life very nice and nifty for the top 1% of the richest Americans, but not for the rest of us. It's on our backs. So you see that it's not logical. Falling in love is not rational ever. Because it's emotional. You fall in love with some, so they're in love with Bush, but they can't make the case for why they think he's a superior being. And there's every evidence to indicate that he is absolutely not a superior being. 303-382-1150. So maybe I should take it back about men having lower IQ points than women, because a lot of the women here have been calling to support Bush. You can explain to me, George in Lakewood, how you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid?
Yeah, George.
Okay. Just a couple of things real quick. First of all, I think I'm pretty smart, and your facts are pretty much correct. And so people, you know, that dearly love good old George Bush, maybe they ought to read the paper or watch the international news, because a lot of them sound pretty damn stupid to call your show. That's number one. Number two, I personally believe if you were to get into a debate with O'Reilly, I think you'd kick his ass personally. That's number two. Number three, one thing I sure wish to God you would ask every one of these people, and that is, since Bush is doing such a swell job, and it was so important for our boys to go to Iraq, ask them if Iraq would be worth the price of their kid. And assuming they're not hypocrites, they'll say, hell no, it's not worth the price of my kid, only somebody else's.
Somebody else's kid, exactly right. And none of these people who are sending your children or your brothers and sisters or your loved ones into war are willing to go themselves. Very few in this administration. Chester, I thank you for the call. 303-382. Oh, I'm sorry, that was not Chester, but we're going to go to Chester. Chester, hi, you're live with Enid.
Welcome back, Enid.
Thank you very much.
Enid, there's a lot of reasons I like George Bush. As a white male, I'm fairly well educated. I have a 4-year degree. I don't seem to think that George Bush is a threat to peace and security. One of the main reasons I like Bush is because he does not put our interests behind those of the United Nations. He doesn't have to go to the United Nations and ask for permission to protect us. He knows that if there's something that's threatening us, if we're going to be attacked, he can take action. He doesn't have to wait for Kofi Annan to give him his blessings. That's real important to me.
But wait a minute. Now, I'm gonna psychoanalyze you, Chester, for a second, because it sounds to me like it's a testosterone thing. Well, you know, we don't have to go get permission from the UN. We can do it ourselves. Fine. That's fine. But do it if you're going to do it. If you're going to go in, go to the right, go against our real enemies. Make it count. It's going to be an expensive proposition in terms of lives, and it's going to be an expensive proposition in terms of what it will cost to do this in every single way. Don't go into Iraq because you can do it, because you want to reshape the region, and in order to sell to the American people, you're going to lie your ass off to do that. Don't do that. Go after the people who have done us the most harm, whether it's the Saudis, where it's Osama bin Laden, and don't make your country more vulnerable as in the process of it. Otherwise, you're just making a stupid decision. How many times have you seen the need for action to be taken, whether it's in the workplace or at home, and, you know, somebody gets points for taking action, never mind that it's the absolutely wrong action to be taking?
I don't agree with you about this being the wrong action.
Why is it a positive action? Explain to me why going into Iraq was a good thing. Do you have children or loved ones over there?
No, I don't.
Okay, I think you might have a different take on it if you did.
I have a son that will be of of military age in just a few years, and I believe if we're still at war there, it would be a noble cause for him to engage.
Why is it good for us to be there?
It's good for us because the man was an absolute threat to this country.
Well, then we should go into Rwanda, if that's a barometer. We supported that man. He was on our payroll for a long years, you know, a lot of years. That's not a good argument, Chester. Why is it a good idea? Why is it a good idea that we have gone in there? Have we not made ourselves more vulnerable by deploying our resources there?
Peter, let me speak. What I'm telling you is that he is a threat to, and has been a threat to us.
He was not a threat to us when we went in there.
Can I state my position?
Yeah.
He was a threat to us because he was providing a base and a safe haven for terrorists.
Where's your evidence? He was not doing that. Afghanistan was doing that. And the one who is the worst doing that, the worst of all, no, hands down, is Pakistan. And we're not going into Pakistan. We've made them an ally. But Pakistan has been the place that has fostered the most terrorism toward us.
Enoch, have you looked at the stock market recently?
Chester, answer me that question. You said that Iraq was fostering terrorism against us. There's really no evidence, no significant evidence to prove that.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Have you been reading the Internet and the news releases there?
I have been reading. You have to tell me specifically. I have been reading many, many books. I've had many, many guests on, and they tell me that Pakistan is the place that has fomented the most in terms of terrorism toward us. Why did we not go into Pakistan?
WorldNet Daily says that captured documents and also
that was debunked, Chester. Get current. Yeah, that was debunked. 303-382-1150. Joe, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid. Bush, when he was running for president, said he was not going to be nation building.
Said he was a uniter, not a divider, too. Did you get that part?
You know, in the 1800s, when we pushed west in this country and decimated an entire population, we used manifest destiny as the excuse for that. What is this, Bush's new manifest destiny, that we're going to go into the Middle East and reshape the Middle East? Is it our destiny to do that?
This is a man who was a blank slate. I don't think he had any. He was wholly incurious. He doesn't read, and he admits that he doesn't read. He had hardly been to Europe, I think only once or twice before he ever ascended to the presidency. And, you know, here he is, you know, he's a blank slate where people are imprinting their ideas on him. He doesn't know about reshaping the region. If you were to ask him, where is that region and who's in charge of it, he'd give you the name of a Brock Band leader.
Well, you know, I just think that the people that come up with these excuses that Saddam was harboring terrorists, there is no proof for that. And people that say they read it on the Internet, I I go on the internet quite a bit, and I haven't really seen any proof that Saddam was fostering terrorists, Osama bin Laden.
Nothing of any significance, and nothing that has to do with 9/11, Joe, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150, Diane calling from her office. Hi, Diane. Do they know you're calling a talk show from
you
your office?
You know what?
What?
It doesn't matter. I had to speak. I couldn't stand it anymore.
Oh, good. Well, welcome.
Welcome back. We sure missed you, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to you.
I'm still laughing over the stupid school. I was going to tell you that I graduated from stupid school in 1975. Anyway, for the lady who called about that Bush is, you know, pro-life or whatever, does anybody realize that Barbara Bush and Laura Bush are both pro-choice? They have come out and actually said that.
Have they said it? Because it was always rumored that they were both.
Barbara Bush waited till her husband was out of office before she said she was pro-choice, and Laura Bush has already said it, and I think that was took a lot of guts for her to do that.
Listen, the mother of two girls, as frisky as those two, better be pro-choice.
Right. But, you know, my biggest thing is I have a lot of Republican friends, conservative friends, and, you know, I can't sway them either way, and they can't sway me. I think, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I think we are what we are, and I remember when Clinton was in office, I would say to them, how come you don't look at the fact that this man has balanced the budget, he has a surplus, he has the lowest crime rate in 40 years, the lowest unemployment rate in 25 years, you know, and then you think about the Ireland thing. I know he had something to do with that. And
he almost brought about peace in the Middle East.
In the Middle East. And
if it wasn't that Yasser Arafat, that old terrorist, was really not interested in it.
Yeah, but nobody, I mean, every time I brought all of these things up of what this man did in the 8 years he was president, you know, my Republican friends still hated him. It didn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's not rational. You're hearing people calling up. They're in love with Bush.
I know.
For reasons that have nothing to do with what laughingly refers to itself as reality.
Yeah, and he scares me to death because you said the number one thing. The reason he scares me is he's not well read. He's run by Karl Rove, who I don't even know who he is, and he's running our country.
Well, my other question is, has anyone ever heard Bush talk while Karl Rove was drinking a glass of water?
I know.
Diane, I thank you for calling. Good information.
All right. Happy New Year.
And to you, too. 303-382-1150. Debbie calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you, Debbie.
We hadn't heard your voice for a week, I guess. I called in because I just want to say I switched parties just before I would have voted for Reagan the second time. I would have, but I switched because I was in the caucus and in our neighborhood caucus, and I went to that neighborhood meeting, and I was astounded to hear that, yeah, they believed in women in politics as long as they listened to what the man had to say. And I started just kind of opening my eyes and looking at one issue at a time and researching out one issue at a time all the way to the end. And I switched parties after that. Well, then I switched to independent, just more or less deciding.
Who'd you vote for in the last election, the presidential?
I voted for Gore.
You did vote for Gore.
Yeah, I voted for Gore because I didn't like the Bush regime.
Okay.
And I felt that Junior Bush was too dumb, and so he'd be taking all of his advice.
Well, you know,
dad,
every name,
which is what he did.
You know, I've renamed him. His name is not George
Dick.
Anymore. That's right, George W. Dick
yes,
Bush. So
Dick.
Now we have two Dicks in the White House.
So anyway, yeah, he listened purely to his dad. That's why he has all those old goats and old farts in those positions.
Your father's Oldsmobile. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
Backfiring on a daily basis. 303-382-1150. Darren calling from Highlands Ranch. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Darren.
Hello.
Hi, Darren. Welcome.
How you doing?
Doing well. We just have a couple of seconds before we have to get into the news, so tell me quick.
Well, I was going to tell you quick. You know, the show should, you know, is on why, you know, with white males supporting President Bush like they are.
Uh-huh.
And it finally hit me the other night when my wife said, who's a Democrat, and her whole family's Democrat, and she said to me, she said, she just heard it on the news. She said, you know, it was about tax breaks for the rich.
Yeah.
And she said, well, why is it a tax break when they're just giving us less of their, you know, of their money that was rightfully theirs?
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
Are you supporting Bush?
Yeah, I'm supporting Bush.
Why? Yeah.
Well,
I think you're lucky. I think you're lucky.
It's dangerous right now.
Darren, I think you're lucky that your wife is going to stay with you under these conditions.
But I'll tell you something. It's dangerous because all these white males are supporting Bush. the fact that they're convincing their wives to do the same. And she just said that question out loud, and I thought, oh, my God.
Oh, she better stop sleeping with you right now. I thank you for the call, Darren. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 42 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Metabolife Ultra. The Glendale Fire Department is getting help from local and national jurisdictions as the investigation continues into a fatal fire that happened yesterday at the Spanish Gate apartment complex on East Kentucky Avenue. A 22-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the blaze that killed one person. Officials say there may be other victims in the structure, which partially collapsed during the fire. Less people got the flu last week than the week before. The state health department reported today that there were 720 new cases of the flu reported during the last week. This is a decline of just more than half compared to the week before. The members of the Virginia Dale Church, which burned to the ground in November, say they should have a replacement building completed by February. A volunteer firefighter has been accused of setting the fire that completely destroyed the 123-year-old building in Larimer County. In sports, it's the Colorado Avalanche versus the Vancouver Canucks tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Avs and Canucks skated to a one-all tie when they met earlier this month. Making a New Year's resolution to lose weight? This year, count on Metabolife Ultra to help you succeed. Metabolife Ultra, from the leader in weight loss, Metabolife. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by RAD, and we got a couple hitchhikers on the road. This is going to be on a northbound I-25 right around Arapahoe. Watch for that. That could be a real hazard. Also, had a little bit of a problem earlier at Downing and Exposition, but that should be out of the way. RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving, says don't take your lifestyle on the road. Designate before you celebrate. Learn more at RAD.org. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A lot of dry air already in place, and even milder temperatures will be working their way in over the next couple of days. It'll stay mostly sunny for us for the rest of the afternoon with a high around 44, overnight low tonight around 20, upper 40s tomorrow, low 50s on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 42 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Wally Prue of the Prue Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major indexes rallied to open the last trading week of the year. The Dow Industrials climbed 125 points to 10,450. The Nasdaq rose 33 points to 2006. The S&P 500 added 14 points to 1109. Big board volume was just over a billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by a more than 3-to-1 margin. McDonald's continues to rebound from the mad cow disease scare. Stock rose 51 cents a share. J.P. Morgan says the weakness caused by the scare presents a buying opportunity for the fast food chain stock. Rival Wendy's gained 56 cents. Wendy's also says its hamburger sales have held steady since the first case of mad cow disease surfaced last week. But concerns over the discovery of the disease in Washington state sent cattle futures to their lowest allowable levels again. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
243 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm back from San Francisco. I'm yours for about, 17 more minutes. And then Doug Kellett takes over. And what we're talking about is the fact that George W. Bush has this base of white men. And to me, judging by the tenor of the calls today, to me, it just proves the idea that a good friend of mine floated that conservatives aren't supporters of Bush, and conservatives are not nearly as bright as liberals and progressives. So here we got all these white men who are supporting Bush. And when you ask them why, they tell you things that they really want to believe. They want to believe that he's a man of his word, that he's really a cowboy, that he's the testosterone, that he puts everybody in the testosterone zone. But when you go through it point by point, it turns out he's a liar. He's much more of a liar than Bill Clinton was, and with greater consequences. Bill Clinton lied about his sex life. George W. Bush is lying about just about everything else. And nobody is putting his feet to the fire, and people still want to be in love with him. I mean, this is a guy who has managed, in that fairy tale sense of the word, to enchant people into believing that he's something he's not, that the emperor's new clothes are not only well cut, but they are so opulent. 303-382-1150. Louise calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Welcome back, Enid.
Thank you, Louise.
You know, I will have to say that Rush, Hannity, and even the Mike Rosens of the world really have got to give themselves a big pat on the back because they have really dumbed down their listeners.
Well, I don't know if they dumbed them down or if they each found each other and they're happy in each other's arms or armpits.
I can't believe what I've been hearing today, the people that are going to vote for George Bush, and they have no concrete reason why
they're just in love. They're just in love with him, and it doesn't matter that he's done A, B, C, D, and E that are all terrible and terrible for the country. They don't care. They have a fairy tale idea about it. They may have voted for him for the first time. They don't want to be wrong, so they have to justify how they're going to be right and vote for him a second time.
Well, all I can say is thank God none of these men are teaching in our schools because we would have a big educational problem. But I think the Democratic candidate should really focus in on the workaday person, the average person. There's more of us than there are the wealthy. And I think their slogan should be, it's the job, stupid. Because I think, in the end, I think everybody knows somebody that's out of work, or they themselves are out of work. And they should bring up the Veterans Affairs, the cuts to Veterans Affairs, and whatever happened to the investigation of Joe Wilson's life.
Actually, I do have something on that. It's heating up, and signs are pointing to somebody from the White House. So I hope that we hear more about that. But let me, I got an email from one of you, and I'm trying to find where it is, but I'll try to reprise it, along the lines of, if people stop looking for work, if they're not looking for work because it's been a couple of years and they were not able to find work and their unemployment benefits have run out, have expired, I don't think that they're counted in those unemployed statistics.
That's right. And I think that's why they did not want to extend unemployment benefits, because there would be too much of a record of exactly how many people are really
well,
out
that's
of
work. That is really a good point.
I thank you, Enid.
Thank you, Louise.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. 303-382-1150. Tom calling from Colorado Springs. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150, KNRC.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, there is one thing that Bush does, not that I support him at all, but there is one thing. He does make a decision and go forward with it. right or wrong.
Even if it's a hideous decision, I mean...
Even if it's a hideous decision, he goes forward with it.
Is that any plus? Is that anything to recommend anybody just to make a decision for its own sake, no matter how horrible?
No.
If you were the parent of children to be who were being sent off to fight this unthought out war or this unthought out occupation, you might feel differently about this.
No, I don't like him at all. That's the only thing I do like about him. Personally, and you know, I don't know yet if he lied about Iraq or if he was just misled to the point that he believed there was a threat there.
But what does it say about him? Here he is, the CEO of the United States of America, and if he is misled by his people, heads should have rolled. Nobody was fired in the wake of 9/11, in the wake of the most massive intelligence failure in the history of the United States. Not one person was fired. So it doesn't speak well for him that if he's being misled with faulty intelligence information, he doesn't crack down and you see a couple of heads roll. We have not seen that. So I look at him as a sponge, and I think they pretty much manipulate him. I think he's a very weak man who has managed the appearance of looking stronger than he is.
I think he wanted to go into Iraq so bad that anything that forwarded that position he looked at, and anything that was against it.
Well, I think he was hot walked into Iraq with Rumsfeld on the one side and Cheney on the other, and they strong-armed him. And I don't think a man as incurious, as ill-read as he is, who had never even bothered to go to Europe, I think, more than once or twice before he ever became president, had any idea for reshaping a region. None of this were, these were none,
no,
not his thoughts.
I don't think he had a concern about reshaping the region. You know, they tried to kill his dad. I'd be upset if somebody tried to kill my dad. Of course, I don't have a 200 million person army to.
So 150,000 people, troops, because somebody tried to kill his dad. I don't know about that, Tom. 303-382-1150. Rick on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. How was San Francisco?
Fabulous. Food was great, and the shopping was even better. Unfortunately.
Listen, I just want to know what you lefties would have done if you guys were in office. Obviously, the first time these guys tried to blow down the World Trade Center, you guys didn't do anything. And I just want to know, you know, what would you do?
If I were the president?
Sure.
Okay, in the unlikely and almost never-to-happen event that I would ever be the president.
Sure. That's for sure.
Oh, well, thank you for that editorial comment, Rick. I would have gone after the people who did us the most harm. I would have concentrated, first of all, I would have shored up security in this country. Gary Hart and Warren Rubman, and Gary Hart was on with Arnie Grossman this morning. Arnie was filling in for Greg Dobbs. And Gary Hart and Warren Rubman together did a report in advance of 9/11 that got shelved by Dick Cheney and the administration that was prescient in anticipating 9/11. And in the wake of 9/11, they did a follow-up report saying what we needed to do to protect ourselves, that we needed to protect our ports, that we needed to protect our water supply, that we needed to protect a lot of things. We've done almost none of it, and Colorado doesn't even have money to do any very much in the way of homeland security. So I would have implemented the salient parts of that report. I would have tried to make us more secure as a country, and I would have absolutely gone after the Osama bin Laden and the people who had done us the most harm. Not Iraq, because Iraq was constrained. Anytime you're going to go after someone, it's going to be very expensive in terms of lives and in terms of costs. And if you go after them and commit your resources there, you don't have it for the people who really have done you the harm.
Okay. You said a couple weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that I guess the information on 9/11 could have been prevented, or 9/11 could have been prevented from the...
Governor Tom Keene, who is a Republican and the former governor of New Jersey, head of one of the 9/11 commissions, has issued a preliminary report saying that 9/11 was preventable, could have been and should have been prevented.
And that was released when Clinton was president, right?
No, it was just released.
Just released?
Yes, it was just released shortly before I left for San Francisco.
They knew this when Clinton was president.
We're not talking about Clinton, Rick. We're talking about Tom Keene, a Republican, looking at the massive intelligence failure of 9/11, and he has said 9/11 could have and should have been prevented. It was preventable, and it was preventable on the watch of this president, George W. Dick Bush, one of the two Dicks running this country, and it was not prevented, not one head rolled. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. This is a coordinated test of the emergency alert system by broadcast stations and cable systems in your area. If this had been an actual emergency, an official message would have followed the alert tone. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
This ski season, save money on lift tickets with the Colorado Gems card and the fifth grade passport. Two great offers available on the internet at coloradoski.com. With the Colorado Gems card, you get discounts on lift tickets and other special offers good throughout the ski season. With the fifth grade passport, fifth graders ski and board for no charge at 23 Colorado resorts. The Colorado Gems card and the fifth grade passport, sponsored by Colorado Ski Country USA and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Fame, fortune, power. But there's only one other thing a movie star could hope for.
Love.
She's a Hollywood superstar, and he's a high school teacher.
He isn't trying to impress me, and that's what impresses me.
Please, save it for the People's Choice Awards.
But tonight, they're both taking a chance on love.
I know a lot of people are staring, but you are out with the Teacher of the Year.
Get ready to fall for a brand new comedy. I'm With Her premieres tonight at 8:30, 7:30 Central, right after the season premiere of Eight Simple Rules on ABC.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the three-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:54 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours for 5.5 more minutes. So if you want to weigh in on this conversation, you just have a few minutes to do it before Doug Kellett takes over. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. We're talking about men and women. We're talking about white men forming, most white men apparently are going to vote for George W. Bush. Don't ask me why, other than they're a few IQ points short of a full deck. And one of my friends believes that if the truth were really known about men, it would be, you would find out that they are actually misogynists. What does that mean exactly? That they don't like women, they look down on women. But see, now here women are making all these gains, and women are displacing men. Men could always rely on certain things, that women would need them, and so they could behave as badly as possible because women couldn't support themselves. So they could bitch about supporting a woman, but at the same time, they could be the one calling all the shots. And now that's not a certainty anymore. Then they could always count on having a job in the workplace and displacing women and being paid more than women. And although they are typically paid more than women, that is still not a, that is no longer a certainty. So maybe they're going for guys like George W. Bush, a guy who thinks in monosyllables and speaks in monosyllables. What does he say? Bring him on. You know, they got to write for him. They have to write really short for him. Bring him on, and other phrases that I don't remember right now. So what could Democrats do, if anything? I'm not sure they can do anything. There's a wonderful ad that MoveOn.org has got going that I think George Soros helped to pay for, that is a fabulous spot against George W. Bush, against the Republicans. And unless you're already converted, unless you're not going to vote for him anyway, it might not have that much effect. I think a lot of people are looking to pundits. And if you go to the cable networks, mostly that's conservative. If you go to most talk radio, it's mostly conservative. There are very few places where you're going to get any semblance of both sides, and this is one of them. AM 1150 KNRC, so you should be writing us thank you notes and telling all your friends to listen. Because you will be heard even if you and I disagree. But those of you who are going to vote for him, Tell me why and be specific. And I have a story here about the jobless count is skipping millions. The rate hits 9.7% when the underemployed and those who have quit looking are added. So it's a high rate of unemployment. What has Bush done for this economy? Well, if you are among the richest 1%, he's made life very perky for you. You have suddenly come into a windfall, and it's the rest of us who are going to pay for it. So how do you fight these expensive wars at the same time you're doing tax cuts? And by the way, it's being reported that Bush is going to ask for more tax cuts next year. And if your congressperson or your senator goes for it, really, well, vote them out. They're not doing their job. They're asleep at the wheel. They have been too long within the beltway. They have become careerists who will sell you out so that they can remain in office just a little bit longer. The Democrats are trying to sink Howard Dean. The New York Times is talking about how this is an administration that in the dead of night is extending the powers of the FBI, trying to extend the Patriot Act so that ordinary citizens are under much more surveillance. But when it comes to business, businesses are under less surveillance. There are fewer watchdogs. There are loosening of some of these laws that were meant to protect the ordinary citizen. So if you're talking about federal, and a lot of this, what this administration, the business that it's conducting is being conducted in secrecy. The data that you and I pay for, the collection of data that has to do with health and safety, for example, tires, the administration is shrouding in secrecy. Clean air, the administration is shrouding a lot in secrecy. And we pay for the collection of that data, but we have no access to it under this administration. So what they're doing, they want to do in complete secrecy. And what they're doing when we can part those curtains long enough to see what they're doing is shocking. It's appalling. It's usually lie based on lie based on lie. And you've heard people calling today. Those people are going to vote for Bush all over again. Why? Well, because he's a man of his word and because he says what he's going to do and he does what he says, and even though that it's lies. Well, he's decisive. He made a decision. Never mind that it's like a decision that's a wrong-way Corrigan decision right into a brick wall. It's a decision. He's decisive. I can't believe that. I think we really have become very dumb. We have to read Michael Moore's book, Stupid White Men. I guess that's what happened. Thank you. I have a lot of people to thank, those of you who called, those of you who listened. Thank you, Joe Anderson, also back from California. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for your fine work. Thanks to all of you. I'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, noon to 3. Let's have lunch together. I'll turn you on. You can turn me on. Okay. Right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Do something generous. Leave the world a better place. Doug Kellett up next.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 42 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Metabolife Ultra. The investigation is continuing into Glendale's first ever fatal fire. The massive investigation is combining local and national jurisdictions. Glendale Fire Chief A.J. Johansson says investigating a fire of this magnitude will be a learning experience for the whole department.
This is one of the worst fires I've ever seen in my 19 years here. And obviously, there's not going to be an awful lot we're going to learn. And more importantly, we've never had a fatality in the history of our department, some 50-plus years, never had a fatality.
22-year-old Blake Fiber made his initial court appearance today in connection with the blaze at the Spanish Gate apartment complex on East Kentucky Avenue. No formal charges will be filed against Fiber until next Monday because the investigation is ongoing. 40 families were left homeless by the fire. Chief Johansson says he hopes that by tonight, some of the displaced Spanish Gate's residents can return to their apartments.
We're going to do our best to get people back into the building that was not on fire, that's very close and still threatened by collapse of the fire building. We're going to try to see if we can get in there and get some of that stuff knocked down and hopefully get residents back in there this evening so they don't have to spend another night away.
At least one person died in the inferno, and Johansson says it's possible there are other victims since part of the building collapsed during the fire. The Virginia Dale Church in Larimer County that was completely